Can you hear it? Mike? Are you here tonight? Mike's here. Good to hear. Boy, do we have an exciting show planned for you tonight on The Best Show. We got Ileana Douglas is going to be on the show in a little bit. She's got a great book out now called I Blame Dennis Hopper. We'll talk to her about that. Got my buddy Fred from, I don't even know where he's from now, from Parts Unknown. I guess I don't know what we refer. Formerly, Fred from Honolulu will be in studio later. And that's right, all the stars are coming out tonight. Fred from Honolulu. That's pretty much it. But right now, as I check the old clock on the wall, I learn one thing, and what I learned. One thing I want to tell you all. It's 8:59 and 59 seconds here on The Best Show. This is At Best Show. The topic tonight. Hey, what was the topic again? Star Wars comedians? Star Wars comedians. That's the hashtag. Hashtag Star Wars comedians. Let's go to the phones. 201-332-3484. Later, it's No Dude Vember, but now's the time everybody can get through. Welcome to At Best Show. You're on.
Yes, a long time ago in a Gallagher far, far
away. Oh, I love it. I love it. Welcome to At Best Show. At Best Show, you're on the air. What's up? Hey.
Yoda Strange.
What's that? Yoda Strange? Ah, good one. At Best Show, you're on.
Newt Gunray Romano.
Say it again.
Newt Gunray Romano.
Newt Gunray Romano. I'll take your word for it. At Best Show, you're on. Hashtag is Star Wars comedians. What
all
do you
right,
got?
I got two of them.
Let's hear
Edric
it.
Edric Vader.
Who?
Edric Vader.
Egret. Who's that?
Diedrich, like Diedrich Bader.
Oh, from, Diedrich Bader. Syria. Okay, yeah.
And Ralphie May, the force be with you.
Oh, I love it. Thanks for calling At Best Show. Back to the phones are hot. 201-332-3484 At Best Show. Who do we got?
Zuckus Galifianakis.
Say it again?
Zuckus Galifianakis.
Galaxy Fanakis. I love it. At Best Show, you're on. What do we got?
Hello, this is Jacob in Philadelphia.
Jacob, what do you got?
I thought about this all day. Louis C. Calrissian.
Louis C. Calrissian, love it. Good one, At Best Show, welcome.
I got Louis C. 3PO.
Love it. Yeah, let's do that. Give you a little bonk for that one, right? Bonk's not loud enough, but we'll get it on the flip-flop there. At Best Show, what do you got?
Jimmy J.J. Skywalker.
Jimmy J.J. Skywalker. I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, At Best Show. At Best Show, you're on.
Darth Bill Hader.
Darth Bill Hader. Fantastic. Great. At Best Show, the hashtag is Star Wars Comedians. What do we got?
A new Bob Hope.
A new Bob Hope. Because that's Bob Hope is the comedian, right?
Right.
Love it.
A New Hope is the Star Wars.
Yeah, because A New Hope is the Star Wars, and the comedian is Bob Hope. I love it.
Got it.
At Best Show. Loving it.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going back to the phones. At Best Show, what do we got? At Best Show, Star Wars comedians, give it to me.
This is Derek from Williamsburg. I got Margaret Cho Baca.
Margaret Cho Baca, good one. At Best Show, what do you got?
Conan Han Solo Brian.
Good one. At Best Show, what do you got? Star Wars comedians, let's hear it.
R2DL Hughley.
That is fantastic. R2DL Hughley. At Best Show, what do you got?
Bobby Moynihan Solo.
Oh, good one. One more, and then the Best Show starts. Or not. Or maybe we do. Oh, no, here we go. At Best Show, what do you got for me?
I've got Dan Aykroyd.
Dan what? At Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd.
Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Why not Dan at Aykroyd?
Well, I'm not a professional like you.
Yeah, that's right. Best Show, at Best Show, welcome. What do you got?
Jimmy Skywalker.
We already got that one. All right, guys. The time is as good as any to say, at Best Show, signing off, and now the Best Show proper will begin. Let's do it. Ileana Douglas coming up. No Dude Vember continues. Here we go. Best Show. Welcome back. The Best Show. We are doing it here on a Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling, the host of The Best Show. And if you're new to the program, I want to welcome you. For people who aren't sure what goes on this show, they're like, what? It's 3 hours long. You don't know what to do with that. Well, here's what you do. First of all, you shut up and stop whining. What are you crying about? It's all free. Entitled creeps. It's free. Stop moaning. Secondly, my name's Tom. I'm the host. And we've got our cast of characters out there on the other side of the door. Glass. AP Mike, he's the guy who screens the calls for the show, the associate producer, and boy, he's a colorful character. You'll get to know him and his fun peccadillos. Then there's Dudio, Jason. He started off as being the guy who couldn't figure anything out with. Like, huh, this guy seems pretty normal. Now, I don't even know where to begin with this guy. First of all, he steals and resells cats. He flips cats He was bragging to me how he went on a vacation, and then they had this famous cat at the hotel, and then he took the cat and then brought it back here and flipped it for two cats. So he's flipping cats. And then, can I play a second of this? You sure? Then he's like, but you know I want to. It doesn't mean I should. You sure? Because there's no going back. You're sure. This is Matrix time right now. You're going to take the pill. You swallowed the pill. It was like Morpheus saying, well, there was no pill, maybe, right? The Matrix, wasn't that the whole point? I don't know. All I know is that those two, the Winklevoss twins, were in that second one, I think. Right? Was that them? Is that the Winklevoss twins? And they sure kept us waiting for that car sequence. Like when they were like, Matrix 2 is coming out. Then you see the scene where he's bouncing from car to car on a highway. It's like, yeah, we'll get to that. But first, we're going to just show you some tribal council stuff for about 45 minutes. Just in case you're wondering about the politics of the world of within the Matrix. We'll show you what a council meeting goes. Oh, and Cornel West is on the council board. So there's no going back. Dudio gives me this, his air check, when he was starting off as a disc jockey. Let's take a quick listen. Just a quick listen to this. I just want to hear a second of this. This is Dudio this is the demo you put together?
Yeah, so this is like you have to have an air check.
This is his air check. To get a radio job.
Deep Purple on 96 Rock. I am Jason Gore. Going to be in here with you for a couple of hours. And at 9 o'clock tonight, from 9 until midnight, 3 hours of some of the deepest classic rock you've ever heard on the radio. In fact, some of it you may have never heard on the radio. English Nick gives you the Vinyl Vineyard from 9 until midnight.
The Vinyl Vineyard. And Jason was telling me the Vinyl Vineyard are like truly deep cuts. Like what would be something you would pull from the Vinyl Vineyard? Like a deep Steely Dan track, like what? Like which one? Get Back, Jack, Do It Again?
Yeah. And the Vinyl Vineyard was meant to be a little lighter, too, so it was a little more of the acoustic artists.
Okay. So for all that heavy stuff we were listening to, then you'd hear what? Like Father and Son by Cat Stevens?
100%. Take your time, hurry up. Maybe then you can marry. You are young. I am all.
I could do a Cat Stevens act, right, Mike? Could picture me in a club. You go into a club and it's me on a stool. And I'm going. I have an acoustic guitar, but I'm not playing it because I don't know how to play it. But I have like a pre-recorded track. And I'm like, boom, ding, boom, ding, boom, boom, boom.
Take your time. Hurry up. Maybe then you can marry. You are young. You're not fine.
Because then he goes up. I was once an old... Right? What's another Cat Stevens song?
I'm old and do laughing, riding on the peace train.
Man, I could rip that dude off so badly. I should start playing clubs as Cat Stevens. Let him shut me down.
Night tonight. You can hear it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our HD2 channel. And you can also go to 96rock.com right now and get a little taste of it. But we'll have that coming up at 9 o'clock. After this, we've got some Zeppelin on 96 Rock. Boston by request on 96 Rock.
Who requested Boston? Nobody requested it. You lied about that, right? There was no request. Oh, man. Hey, man, you going to play some Boston? Nobody's. They have two albums. Anybody who'd want to hear it has both of them already. Boy, I sure could go for some Boston. Either I could pull my Boston records out, or I could call this guy and hopefully get through it and see if maybe he'll play some for me.
By request on 96 Rock, and if there's anything I can do for you before we get into the Vinyl Vineyard, give me a call, 404.
Before we get in there, Jason will do anything for you. I love this, too, and I'm not making fun. I find this fantastic, and it just shows, in all seriousness, that you love radio so much. And that's why we're here doing this together, is because this is who you started out as. So I appreciate it, Jason.
741-9696. The Regular Guy Spooktacular going on Friday, October 27th from 7 until 11. It's going down at Jillian's in Duluth on the backside of Discover Mills. It is the biggest Halloween party, Halloween spectacular, spooktacular, that you'll see the Regular Guys at this year. You get cash prizes, sexiest female costume will walk away with $500, and the best overall costume will walk away with $500. And Sarsaparilla, the singer.
Okay, here we go. Hold on.
$500. And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing. So definitely check it out. Regular Guys Spooktacular.
Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. Please tell me everything you know about Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. But is he a gorilla?
Yeah, it's a
blue guy in a gorilla costume. Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla.
We'll walk away with $500. And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing. So definitely check it out. Regular Guys Spooktacular, Friday, October 27th. More info, 96rock.com. 96 Rock, and I'm certain maybe somewhere in Gwinnett County, could be Cobb. There's a guy who's like, hey, man, you remember that video for that song where that girl got on the hood and danced around, and then the guy proceeded to show everyone on the hood of his car, a sight that nobody ever really needed to see. Jason Gore in with you until 6 a.m.
Okay, this could be the rest of the show. So I'm just going to, that's the first of 80 installments of Jason's air check reel. So that's part one of 80, a series that will continue halfway through 2017. So, and we got Pat Byrne out there. He's working out there. He's doing it. So, thank you, Pat. And the phone number is 201-332-3484. And tonight we continue. No Dude Vember continues. No Dude Vember. Ladies only. If you're a dude, you cannot call. We want to hear from ladies or anyone who identifies as a non-dude. 201-332-3484. And later in the show, we got Fred from Honolulu coming up, and Ileana Douglas is going to call in and tell us about her new book. What else is going on? Guys, Sharpling and Worcester live. We announced the show last week in Raleigh, North Carolina. There are four shows coming up over the next bunch of months. The end of December. The end of November. Goodness gracious. The end of November. You can see Sharpling and Worcester live. We will be playing in Toronto at November 28th. Toronto, Ontario. Saturday, November 28th at the Mod Club. Sunday, November 29th, Cambridge, Massachusetts at the Sinclair. Sunday, December 13th in Philadelphia at Union Transfer. And the latest show, Saturday, February 27th, Durham, North Carolina at Motorco. And tickets for all of those shows are available over at stereolaughs.com/tour. That's stereolaughs, LAFFS.com/tour. And I hope to see you all there. That will be fun. Ate dinner before the show. That's all. That's it. Nothing more to tell. No, I ate dinner and it was... These two guys talking while eating. The one guy started talking about how... And it's like, look, if you're comfortable talking about certain subjects at dinner, that's fine in your home. But maybe other people don't want to hear you talk about how someone's glass eye popped out of their eye and rolled on the floor, and then someone else picked it up and wiped it off at a restaurant. That's not appropriate dinner conversation for others to hear. If that's how you roll in your house, God bless you. You talk about that all the live long day. You want to talk about how the eyeball rolled across the floor and how funny and gross it was? You do it, but you don't do it where I got to hear it. You don't hear me talking about my stuff, right? Nah, you don't hear me talking about the fuzz show I saw on Saturday. Now people were throwing cups at every... Well, I could have talked about that. I saw fuzz with Ty Siegel on Saturday in Philadelphia. It was really great. Really great show. But those Philly... That's an intense crowd, man. These Philly people. The pit. All of a sudden, there's a pit at the front, which is great. I love it. But there was not a whole lot of joy going on in that pit. People were throwing cups, and they were not throwing them in the spirit of beers in the air. Isn't this fun? It was more like, I want to see who I can hit with my cup. And look, I don't know if people, Saturday night, people might have been in a very weird mood because of obviously all the stuff in Paris. Just being in a crowd was strange. But there was an aggro vibe, man. That's Philly. That's pure Philly. That happens no matter what's going on. But I love you, Philly. I love you. You're like Boston for weirdos. Same history. Same old cobblestone roads. But it's jam-packed with weirdos. Not a whole lot of patched elbows, suit jackets there in Philly. God love you, Philly. But yeah, fuzz were awesome. That Ty Siegel, what else can he do? He can't go wrong. Ty can't go wrong. The phones are dead. Everybody wanted No Dude Vember, but when push came to shove, did the phones ring? Nope. The phones are quiet. This might be it for No Dude Vember. Might have to do 2.5 hours of At Best Show. People would like that, though. People would be into that. I don't want to do that. Non-dudes, this is when you got to call. Hey, guys, are we doing half-hour power tonight? Oh, boy, that crew. I might split. I need a hatch in here, like a secret way out. Because there's some weeks, love them all out there. Love one more than the next. I think Mike's the ringleader on it. He's definitely poisoning the well. Because... Started off, Mike was, I had Mike under control, but now he's got Dudio hanging out, and then Pat's hanging out, and Dudio and Mike don't like each other. Mike doesn't like Pat. I think Pat likes Dudio, but doesn't like Mike. But you know what? I don't want any of the drama. That's theirs to figure out and fight over. We'll put a topic on the table in a couple of moments, but let's go to the phones now. 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on
Hi,
the
Tom.
Air.
Hi. How are you?
To whom am I speaking?
This is Annie. I live in Kansas City.
Annie, in which Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City, Kansas, but hurry for the Royals no matter which state.
Yeah, you, it's not like you can't root for the Royals if you're on the not on the Missouri side of things, right?
No, but people get so territorial about which side you're from. It's a good city. Both states are great.
Well, who? You're not from Kansas City. You're only from a different city called Kansas City. How dare you root for this team? Meanwhile, you look anywhere, you see these Cowboys jerseys everywhere, right?
No kidding.
It's like people who haven't been within 2,000 miles of Dallas are wearing Cowboys jerseys.
There's Raiders stuff everywhere here. Just
Raiders.
This contrarian thing.
Yeah. The Raiders don't even exist anymore. What are they? Oakland? Are they in Oakland? Or do they play? Don't they play on like a barge outside of like the U.S. border? Aren't they like in international waters? How is it that Los Angeles doesn't have a football team? How does that happen? Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard in your life?
Do they have multiple basketball teams? I'm sorry if I don't know.
Well,
don't
yes,
know
they have the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Thank you. That's right.
Which makes perfect sense is that Los Angeles is known for two things. It's love of yachting and its many lakes, right? Of course, those are the perfect teams for Los Angeles. Who doesn't love seeing a fine schooner rolling in along the Santa Monica Pier?
Now, when I was a kid, I thought Clippers, I didn't know that that was, I mean, like what a colloquial way to say a ship or a kind of ship. I thought it was about like a guy mowing a lawn, like a clipper.
Well,
that would be
a very unexciting name for a team. You might as well just call your team the Lawnmowers then, right?
I don't know. I figured there were so many rich people there that they, I'm not sure
what
my
is that?
Line of
so, so that's
I'm
like,
sorry.
So you looked at that they were throwing a bone to like people who do yard work for rich people. We'll name one of our teams after in tribute to you. Guys, we'll cheer for the Lakers. You guys cheer for the team that's about all the landscapers can cheer for the Clippers.
Oh my stars.
So
that
you
sounds awful.
You thought it was like hedge clippers.
Didn't you say there was you had a topic when I was young not long ago, so chalk it up to that column, I guess, but
I love it. That is very funny. That is very funny.
I'd like to share an anecdote with you if I could, sir.
I would love it. Let's hear it.
So I know that we're both fans of Nathan Fielder.
We are.
Yes, and my friend Brooke is currently in labor right now, and she's obviously very pregnant to be in that status. But last night she went into contractions because she was laughing at the scene from Nathan For You with the age progression and the guy in the garage.
Oh, that was one of the all-time funniest things. That's the great thing about Nathan For You. You watch it, and every week it's like, oh, that might be the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then,
how is that show real? It's unbelievable. Sorry.
He's the all-time greatest. So she was in labor.
Well, she's now in labor, but she was just kind of, you know, along there in her third trimester.
So it induced labor is what you're saying. Nathan
yes,
For You.
Yes. He kick-started a beautiful human life.
Oh, my God. And also, don't give people an idea to do Kickstarters for babies. That actually, you actually just put something really gross out there.
In all fairness, I meant that like a motorbike Kickstarter,
no,
you know.
But now you're going to go.
Know, you're right.
You're going to go online right tomorrow to be like, hey, I was wondering if somebody will contribute to my Kickstarter for a baby.
Ew.
A baby Kickstarter? Baby Kickstarter would be like little kids doing Kickstarter,
no.
Right? Three and under. Be like, I want to get candy.
Great idea for a rocket ship. Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, they'd be like, I want a big wheel. Give money to my Kickstarter. That would be baby Kickstarter.
What, where all the R's backwards and everything, and it's kind
yes
of misspelled
yes
in a cute way.
The R's would be backwards.
It's like written in crayon, but it's obviously typed.
Now, what is your
somehow
name again?
I don't know.
What is your name
again? My name's Annie.
Annie. Hold on a second. Annie.
Yeah.
From Kansas City.
Yes.
Kansas. I'm writing this down, Annie, because you know what?
What?
You now are my favorite caller of all time.
Ooh. out of your mind, sir.
You, I'm giving you, get this, Annie.
Yeah?
I'm giving you now a pass. Three, you get through three times. When Mike calls, when you call and then Mike says, well, would you like to talk about him? You know what you tell him?
What?
You tell him, this is Annie from Kansas City. N-O-Y.
Is that a greasy entry?
This is what you say. N-O-Y-F-B. That's what you say to Mike. This is Annie from Kansas City. N-O-Y-F-B.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Okay.
All right.
That's what you say to Mike. Three times you can do it.
Oh, my God.
You hear that, Mike? And if you question her, I'm going to make you go outside in the street and pick a switch, and Dudio will give you a good old fashioned Adrian Peterson style.
I never had to pick a switch. Thank God.
Yeah, I never
did
either.
Go find one. Ooh,
yeah.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
How is it that we're all cheering for Adrian? It's like I was listening to like football highlights. It's like Adrian Peterson runs his mouth. It's like, isn't it the dude who like thrashed his kids like 2 years ago? I guess it's like he's fine. He's not thrashing his kids anymore. It's okay. Not fun. And if Adrian Peterson can come back, why is Robert Blake not back yet? Right. Why have we not found a room for him and to let into our hearts? That's the name of that tune. Just picture him in full Lost Highway makeup again, right?
Like, can I ask you a question? Oh, I'm so sorry.
But just picture him like, this is Robert Blake Chevrolet. Like he buys like a, and he's in full Lost Highway makeup doing car commercials for his car lot. This is Robert. He's like, we got special savings on Toyota Corollas. I know I said it's Chevrolet, but he said, it's like, we got special savings on Corollas and Hyundais at Robert Blake Chevrolet. And that's the name of that tune.
Oh no.
And if you don't buy a car from me, if I catch you at the other dealership, like you call the other dealership, and then, like, you're waiting for the salesman to come back, and then the phone on a desk rings, and it's him. Yeah, it's me. I'm you. And I'm in jail. Whatever happened in that horrifying movie. Go ahead, Annie. I did not mean to step on what you said.
Oh, I was stepping on you, sir. Sorry about that. What do you make? I know that your wonderful cohort, Julie Klausner. I said cohort, like you guys share one.
She is my cohort. Because I love Julie Klausner, yes.
You guys are a wonderful pair. I love when she's on so much. The American Horror Story anthology, I don't want to get into that because I think you and I are kind of similar about horror movies. I'm not really a fan. But the American Crime Story that's going to be with O.J. Simpson, have you looked at that cast list? It's kind of bananas.
What is it called now? American Crime?
It's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be American Crime Story, so another series of anthologized stories. And the first one they're doing is O.J. Simpson. So you've got, like, David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian, and just
like
these out-of-left-universe... Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J., I guess, is arguable. I don't know how that happened, but peek at this cast list sometime, please, because it's... bonkers.
So it's they're doing the OJ, and is this like a mini series, or is this like a series that they're hoping they could just keep going?
I think it's the mini series. I mean, as far as like, you know, what categorically at the Emmys, like they submit them as miniseries. So I guess like six of one, half a dozen of the other, you know, like it's just like, I don't know, kind of in between.
I'm going to look this up right now. Hold on one second. What is it called? American what? American what the what?
It's called American Crime Story. I mean, if you looked up Brian Murphy, O.J. Simpson, I'm sure it would be.
American Crime Story. Here we go.
Everyone on Twitter should do it at the same time.
Here's the cast.
Play along.
Are you ready for the cast? Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson. Sarah Paulson as Marcia Clark. John Travolta as Robert Shapiro. Right. David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian. Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran. Nathan Lane as F. Lee Bailey.
What is that going to be like? There's not going to be any scenery left.
Selma Blair as Chris Kardashian. Malcolm Jamal Warner as Al Cowlings. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait for this. When does it start? I hope it starts tonight.
I wish it would start always. And the commercials for it are very kind of eerie, like not showing any of this, you know, kind of teasing with, like, Nicole Brown's dog or something. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, barking at, you know what I'm saying, like on a California street. Setting that creepy vibe.
Here's what it says. It serves as a spin-off and companion series for American Horror Story. How? That's fiction.
Don't know what they mean by that at all.
It's the weirdest thing. This is the strangest thing I've ever heard. This is the weirdest thing. AP Mike is playing Mark Furman.
No.
You didn't even tell me about this, Mike.
You were trying
to surprise us? AP, no, actually, there's an asterisk next to it, and I'm looking down. It says, ha ha, got you, Tom.
Well, so, Wikipedia, anyone could edit, so.
Yeah. So Mike hacked Wikipedia to put himself, he's not actually playing him. Actually, it says Andy Milonakis is playing Mark Furman.
Ooh.
That'll be good casting. I can't wait for this. This will be the greatest thing ever. Malcolm Jamal Warner as Al Cowlings. Right? Who's going to play that dude? Who's going to play the dude who pranked Al Michaels from Howard Stern show? Remember that? All I remember about this O.J. Simpson thing was I'm trying to watch the Knicks in the NBA Finals, and I'm cheering them on, and suddenly the screen goes to showing a Bronco driving down the street, and I had to go listen to the basketball game in my car on the radio. Because every channel flipped over to watch the world's worst car chase.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. I cannot wait. I really cannot wait.
February. Billy Magnuson as Cato Kaelin.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's Billy? They should have gotten the dude from...
He's on Broadway.
Is he? They should have gotten the guy from the Leisure Class. Tom Bell, right? Hello, brother. It's me. That guy. It's me, Cato Kaelin.
Yeah, that's how he would do all his lines.
You like get three wishes. Right? If Cato Kaelin appears suddenly, it's me. Say my name three times, and I will grant you wishes.
Can I tell you something?
Please do, Annie.
So I grew up in the 90s, and I learned more about the O.J. Simpson trial from Mad Magazine than really anything else. Because when we were talking about this, I was like, wait, why do I keep picturing this, like, Mort Drucker version of Cato Kaelin?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's Mort. Because, like...
you thought it was, like, you know the lighter side of O.J. Simpson?
That would have been pretty creepy.
You thought it was like with what's-his-face? Remember the guy who was always in the doctor's office in those?
Oh, yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Not the answers to stupid questions. Dave, the guy who did it?
No, the guy in Mad Magazine was always in the doctor's office.
Shucks.
You're my favorite caller. You said shucks. You didn't even slip up. I'm thinking of Dave Berg, the guy Dave Berg.
I was gonna say Dave Berg.
Walter Kaputnik was the guy's name.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about all these people. You said Marcia Clark, and I was like thinking about how they'd be like, blarf a blarf instead of
instead of like a character's name in a movie, they'd give it like a name about, you know, vomiting or Ralphing or something about smelling, you know. So like, there are movies I've never seen that I know the basic plot constructs of because of Mad and Cracked.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so, I don't need to see them. I'm good.
Exactly. You're just kind of, or like an SNL sketch. I'll just be like, yeah, okay. I think I know what the hook with that thing is because I see what they're making fun of with it. Yeah. So that's what they're making.
They fade into the set and you're like, oh, okay, rude sandwich guy. You flip it off.
Exactly. Well, Annie.
I got that one.
Annie, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You, where have you been this whole time? You're such a fantastic caller.
Becoming a huge Best Show fan, obviously.
Please call the show as much as you want. And remember, what are you going to tell Mike when you call?
Let's say, hello, Mike, and Annie and Elias B.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
You have a great night. Wow, what a good caller. What a good caller. Yeah, so we'll do the half-hour power after tonight's show. Unscreened calls at midnight. But for now, we are looking for screened calls. Screened by AP Mike. Ileana Douglas will be on shortly. And Fred from Honolulu, formerly of Honolulu, will be here. We'll have him in the studio. Remember a few weeks ago, the Village Voice named me the best radio person in New York? Well, A, how did that get me? That did not move the needle one inch on anything. The show is still living in the tank pretty hard. Whole lot of nothing going on here, Best Show style. And that I've had enough of. All these, this is like a show. Come on, guys. Why don't you love the show? Why don't they love the show anymore, guys? I thought we had something. I thought we were all doing this thing together. Let's build it back up. Isn't it time to love Tom again? What happened? What did I do? I look at the listenership on some of these things. Last week, 11 people listened to the show. 11. 11 people listen. We're sending out all these stickers. You can go to thebestshow.net and look for the sticker initiative. There's stores and businesses all throughout the world. I'm sending them internationally as well. Have Best Show stickers. You go in and you ask for one and you'll get one. So go get your Best Show sticker. And take a picture. Put the sticker somewhere fun. And send me a picture of it. Send me a picture of it. I would like that. Nowhere illegal, though. Don't stick a sticker on top of the Mona Lisa or something like that. Hey, look what I did. I stuck it on the Mona Lisa and ripped off half the paint. Isn't that funny? So anyway, the Village Voice names me top radio person in New York City. Does anybody have a physical hard copy of that Village Voice? I was supposed to get one, and I did not get one. I need a physical hard copy of that. I don't have one. I could sure use one. How could you not have a physical hard copy of that? How? When that's never happening again. I'm glad people are saying on Twitter that it's time to love Tom again. We had something going, then you all moved over. I don't know what you're listening to now. Nightshade, whatever that show's called. What is that? Nightshade. Hold on 1 second. Hey, this is Tom. Can you call the number I texted you? That's all right. This is my cell phone. No, this is my cell. Okay, bye. Oh, guess who that was? Mike, you get one guess who that was. It was Ileana Douglas. Yeah, she's got my cell phone number. I'm not bragging or anything. So yeah, if anybody's got a physical copy of that Village Voice, I could use it. Now it is time for me to tell you about a couple things. Well, my friends, tonight the best show is sponsored by who? Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses, obsessively engineered, American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And now, you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/bestshow and using code bestshow. Listen, you spend about a third of your life sleeping, so let's make sure you're doing it on a good mattress. Casper brings together two comfy technologies into one for better nights or brighter days. That's latex foam and memory foam. The two foams uniting to bring you the most comfortable sleep you can imagine. They got just the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. They've got a free trial and return policy. They'll deliver it straight to you. You try it for 100 days, and if you're not happy, they'll pick it back up. You go to a mattress store, maybe you get a minute to try the mattress. You're laying there, people are staring at you. With Casper, you actually get to sleep on it. Your own home. $500 for a twin-size mattress and $950 for a king-size mattress. Compare that to industry averages, and that's an outstanding price point. So get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/bestshow and using code bestshow. Terms and conditions apply. casper.com/bestshow. And one other thing I want to tell you all about, my good friends. Now that we're all gathered here tonight on this, the most exciting of evenings. That's right. I want to tell you all about, if I can only find this, to tell you about it. Now I can tell you about it. If this thing would only click through, and not that. I'm going to throw this computer at the window. It don't work. How can you do this to me, Steve Jobs? You're letting me down, you goon, right? That's why I didn't see your movie. That's why I didn't see it. Because you let me down all the time. You rat bastard, right? You rat bastard. I want to tell you all about what? Howl.fm. That's right. What is Howl.fm? Well, let me tell you. Howl.fm. Howl is a brand new app and website that changes the way you think about podcasts. And with Howl Premium, their premium service, you get exclusive access to dozens of miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums, all the archives from WTF with Marc Maron, and all the Earwolf shows like Comedy Bang Bang or How Did This Get Made? Well, that's all waiting for you there. And the miniseries are truly unique. Like Forgotten Classics by Super Ego, the very funny Super Ego. On each episode, the Super Ego team will improvise a famous work of fiction with one work of fiction that they are not familiar with. Only given the book's title, its first and last lines, and the name of the characters, the rest is up to them. The Sklar brothers have a show called Finding the Funny as they travel the country trying to find what makes each city funny. The first stop on their journey is Buffalo, and in their quest, they'll get help from locals as they eat as many buffalo wings as they possibly can. And again, I don't know why they're focusing on the buffalo wings. Buffalo has like a trash sandwich or whatever they call it. Like, that to me is more buffalo than buffalo wings. But that's neither here nor there. You take that up with the Sklar brothers. So I'm telling you all about Howl. FM, and you're like, what am I supposed to do now, Tom? Well, you can get all this exclusive content on your iPhone, your Android phone, and on the web for only $4.99 a month. And with promo code Tom, T-O-M, Tom, you'll get a full month of free trial. To redeem that promo code, make sure you create your account on the web at howl.fm and enter code Tom at checkout. Tom, T-O-M. go to howl.fm, that's howl.fm, and use the promo code Tom for 1 month of free trial of Howl Premium. You also get, I think Hollywood Handbook is up there, and I'm on the new Hollywood Handbook. I'm in the Four Timers Club on Hollywood Handbook. What do you think about that, Mike? Huh? Oh, this guy. I need this hatch. Somebody's got to build me a hatch so I can just duck out. I'm serious. I seriously need a hatch to duck out. I'm going. I'm being told to go to the hotline.
That yes.
We have a guest on the hotline, a very important guest. We have Ileana Douglas. Is this you?
It's me from, I feel like I'm a president or something. I'm in a broom closet in the Alamo Draft House in Houston.
Oh my God. Why are you, what brought you to Houston and why are you in a broom closet?
Well, it's a movie theater, so you have to talk quietly.
Yes.
And, they decided this was the most quiet place for me, but I am on a book tour. I'm on a tour of all the, Alamo Draft Houses. They're a movie theater chain, and they are showing Ghost World. And you buy a ticket, and you get a copy of my book. And then we're going to talk about the movie, and then do a book signing afterwards. So it's been like an Easy Rider road tour.
Wow, that is awesome. That's very exciting. Now,
it's fun.
Ileana Douglas, when you mention your book, you're talking about I Blame Dennis Hopper.
Yes.
A book that you wrote.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a true or false question. True or false, the book is available in stores.
Yes, true.
Okay. True or false, they only printed a few copies, so you probably can't get one within a couple days if you don't go get it.
True. You must go immediately to either Amazon or your local bookstore, yes.
That was the right answer because actually they made plenty of them. But you create the supply and demand with an answer.
Well, yes, that's true. Although every bookstore I go to locally, they seem to have run out of it, which I guess is a good sign.
I think that's a good sign. Well,
I
read the book. The book is so great.
Thank you.
It really is so so amazing. And one thing that I thought of the whole time reading it is that you're clearly such a fan of movies and the history of movies and just really getting into behind the scenes on movies. And so when you, as somebody who loves movies and books about movies, you now had to write your book about movies. Was that daunting in any way? Because you know you're joining this pantheon of great books written by actors or about movies, and this was your entry into that world.
Well, I've been working a lot with Turner Classic Movies and you know, sort of curating films, talking about films with them, and it just seemed like, you know, all my life people kept saying, oh, you're so funny, I hope you're going to write a book and tell all these funny stories. But I didn't really know what the through line was. And then through my work at Turner Classic Movies and getting to meet people like Jerry Lewis and Richard Dreyfuss, the through line became for me, oh, you're kind of an insider outsider. You know, you're in movies. Like, I watched movies as a kid. I was watching Richard Dreyfuss in movies or Jerry Lewis in movies. Then I grew up and I'm acting in movies with them. And then I'm also talking about their historical contribution on TCM. So I think that's maybe my point of view in terms of the book, is that they're funny stories, but some of them are very personal. You know, it's not because I feel like an up close personal view of some of these people shows them in a little bit different light.
Yeah. Well, that is very true, because you're not only coming at this from the point of view of an actor who built a career and ended up on different sets with you being in front of the camera. You started off, your grandfather was Melvin Douglas, the legendary actor. So as a kid, my grandfather was planting fence posts in a field. That's what my grandfather, your grandfather was in Being There, and you were on the set of Being There.
Yes, so it was, I mean, I was still at an age where, you know, I had a poster. I mean, I was obsessed with the Pink Panther, and I was, you know, loved movies. But I, you know, I had a poster of Inspector Clouseau in my bedroom wall. And I didn't know that, you know, people made movies. And so going to the set of Being There and watching them actually make a movie and seeing the amount of people that it took to make the movie, I suddenly, that's where my love of filmmaking took hold. Because I love the idea of acting in movies, but I love the whole process of making movies. Mm-hmm. And that part seemed just as exciting almost as being in the films. You know, hearing my grandfather talk about, you know, Hal Ashby as a director, or watching the actors, you know, the camaraderie of them talking. They were, you know, they were telling war stories.
Mm-hmm.
The day I was on the set. So after that, then I would go home, and anytime I saw Jack Warden in a movie or Peter Sellers in a movie, I would kind of personalize it in a way that I hadn't before. They became more than, you know, just images, you know, from movie magazines. They became real human beings.
Yeah, because you actually saw that building of a thing. Because people, it is very surprising the first time you actually go on a set and watch how a movie or a TV show is built, because it's completely different. And I came to it more as an adult the first time I was on a set to see how things were constructed. But did that inform how you watched movies from that point on as a kid? Because A, you've seen things, you've been on sets and you're seeing how they're doing take after take. And B, you also have, you're in the family, you actually have an actor.
Yes, it did, because that was where my, you know, I started developing an interest in the director. And that's when I realized, you know, my grandfather placed me to, you know, sitting next to who I didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. Hal Ashby. And, you know, but because I knew the name Hal Ashby, then, you know, when I went home, I started putting it together. So if a movie came out and Hal Ashby directed it, then I had this context. Oh, he's the person who directed Being There. So it started more, you know, as I said, getting me more involved in the filmmaking process of it, rather than before I just loved, you know, Inspector Clouseau. I loved the movie stars. But now I started getting interested in the mechanics of making a film.
Mm-hmm. And did that, because one thing, look, I admire plenty of things about you, Ileana Douglas. First, most recently is your book, I Blame Dennis Hopper. You see how I did that? I slipped it. I made it sound so,
nice.
I made it sound so casual that I mentioned the name of your book. But now me talking about it makes it less slick than I maybe thought it was. But you, in addition to being an actor, you write and you direct and you've run shows and you've done all of these things. Is that experience as a kid, did that help you get that kind of fearlessness with that and feel like there's no ceiling on where you could go with a life in entertainment?
Well, because I think, you know, I think what it gave me was that I just wanted to be in show business. Like any aspect of it seemed exciting to me. You know, watching the actors and being there was exciting. You know, but then also sitting next to the director seemed exciting too, because they were two, in a way, different worlds. And then my grandfather took me on another set, which was the movie Ghost Story. And, you know, again, I was seeing, it was surreal seeing Fred Astaire. Somebody I was like, oh my God, the guy that I've watched musicals and emulated him, and now he's here acting in a film. And
yeah,
you know, Patricia Neal, John Houseman. And so it just kind of blew my mind to have them, you know, come off the screen and be these real life human beings that were imparting wisdom on me. And also because they had such respect for my grandfather, you know, they just kind of took a special interest in me and a special liking in me. So I think that, but it gave me a certain confidence of I think watching a director work, from a very early age. And I always just kind of found myself more comfortable, even when I was acting in a film. Most of the movies that I really had standout roles were kind of a collaboration with the director, and I didn't realize that until I got on the set of To Die For. And it solidified, and this is something I write about, it, like that my whole journey, I wonder if it started with being there.
Mm-hmm.
And then having this, kind of a collaboration with Gus Van Sant, where the movie is essentially two movies. Like I went up first and shot the documentary section of To Die For with Gus Van Sant and a kind of a splinter crew before anybody else got there. So then had, again, my secret special partnership with him, and then we shot the narrative film. So, it gave me that kind of insider-outsider feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I do a movie, I'm one of the, few actors that I'm always, sometimes I get myself in trouble for it because people go, just act, Ileana. But I'm always thinking as the director too.
Sure.
And it's just unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I just started to look at films critically and not just worry about my part, but worry about the whole film. And oftentimes, suggest music to people. I just always had a natural camaraderie with the director. I would become the director's confidant. It just happened again and again and again.
But then sometimes people are just, you've had people say, and you say this in your book, where they're just kind of like, we're kind of, who said to you, you can just don't sit next to me? Was that Buck Henry? You can't ask me any questions?
Well, when I did To Die For, everybody I work with, I'm such a movie fan, and it was like, Buck Henry, what's up, Doc? Catch 22,
Yeah.
So that's all I'm thinking through my mind.
Uh-huh.
They're thinking, I wonder what's for lunch, and all I'm thinking is, how can I approach this to get him to tell me about, The Graduate? And so the first couple days, of course, he's absolutely thrilled. Oh, it's my biographer. I got to see, but by day three, you saw me and he looked like he had that panic look, like, where can I go? And then he said, Ileana, you can sit down, but you cannot ask me any more questions about my movies.
Yeah.
But, that's how I feel. Like, I'm acting in the movie and I'm thrilled that people, may like me in the movie, but oftentimes I find for me, being in the film is really just an excuse to my own movie fan stories of somebody like Buck Henry. And, so it's like I talk to them and then I would run back to my journal and just write down everything they say.
Uh-huh.
Did
it feel like you were just these things? Some of it, did it feel like you were just because you love the stuff? And other things that you would use this down the road somewhere? Something that you had some wisdom?
I always feel whenever I'm talking to people and, I'm on my book tour right now and, Jerry Lewis said to me, you aren't anybody unless they're leading you through the kitchen. And so tonight, I hit Houston, and they said, we're going to take you in the back way. And they were walking me through the kitchen. And I thought, Jerry Lewis, so they do stay with me. And I guess that's the movie fan part of me. I've never, I retain that kind of childlike delight in like, I can't believe I'm here. This is incredible. And so sometimes, yes, when people see something to me, it's as if a bell goes off and I remember it, and if I don't think I'm going to remember it, I make sure to write it down so that I will remember it, because a part of me, as a film historian, feels that it's important, to pass these stories on, because I just think, movies are such an art form,
mm-hmm.
and we're in this day and age now where it's like we're just so close to the end of, watching movies together, and I remember what that feeling was like being a kid and watching Jaws 600 kids screaming and going to a drive-in and seeing Dusk Till Dawn movies and just how nostalgic it was. And I feel like we're just at the beginning that those days may die out. And so part of the reason I wanted to write the book was just to show how much that I felt, you know, that movies press so many emotional buttons for me. Like, I don't remember dates, but I remember the movies or the, you know, the movie stars. And somebody like Dennis Hopper with a movie like Easy Rider, you know, one movie I really believe changed the course of filmmaking, changed America.
Changed
my family, changed me. And there's many other people that feel that way too.
Yeah. Well, you really go into how it changed your family. It's a pretty, it kicks off the book that people should read the book, I Blame Dennis Hopper. But in a nutshell, your dad sees Easy Rider and then gets super caught up in that lifestyle, and your kind of normal, relatively well-to-do or well-to-do life suddenly went out the window.
Yeah. Because I was suddenly surrounded by 20 hippies who all look like Dennis Hopper, you know, with choppers and, you know, a band going to peace rallies and, you know, and that's what the movie, you know, it predicted again this rise of the counterculture and college students, and people were so affected by that one film. You know, by the time you get into the 80s and 90s, I think with, you know, movies like Albert Brooks' Lost in America, you know, we're almost kind of poking fun at it, but we forget the importance of that at the time. I mean, my parents were like, they were never the same after they saw that film. You know what I mean? Shook them up. And so their values changed me. I mean, you know, I didn't appreciate it when I was a kid, but all those kind of rebellious values have stayed with me as an adult. And I was lucky enough and privileged enough to actually get to meet Dennis Hopper and work with Dennis Hopper and be able to tell him that he changed my life. And not everybody has a chance to do that, but I feel that, you know, so many times movies are there when we're down, or, you know, they cheer us up, they're our friends, you know, and we got away from, you know, because it's so embarrassing lately to, like, you know, have any feelings, any nostalgic feelings about going to the movies, but I just have so many fun memories of, like, movies my dad took me to, movies my mom took me to. We still talk about that. Movies my grandparents took me to.
Sure.
And you would be able to talk about difficult subjects because you saw it in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was something, you know, I remember, like, with my parents, you know, they'd take me to these art movies, you know, that were like, you know, like, we saw Amacord. I was like, what the hell was that? You know, like, what have I seen? And then, you know, afterwards, you know, we'd go to an ice cream shop, and, you know, they would say, did you understand that movie? Of course, I didn't, but, you know, you'd sort of pretend that you did. And, but all those memories are important.
Sure. No, and it informs so much, and then you figure if it informs you, now you're informing, you've made so many great movies and been a part of so many things, you are spreading that, you are moving that down the line. And the book, I Blame Dennis Hopper is, it's really a really great look into so many things, movie wise and career wise. And you weave your personal life and your love of movies together really, in a really outstanding way. And you, one thing you talk about is that you actually, and I'm not going to, like, when you sit down across from somebody like Marlon Brando or these people who you go your whole life seeing as these icons, and then it's like you see them as actual people. It's like that. I've always felt that that's one of the strangest things whenever you meet somebody who's been larger than life, and then they're actually in front of you, and maybe they're even shorter than you or something like that.
Right.
Like, But you didn't want to meet Marlon Brando when you had a chance to meet him at first.
No, because it was, you know, it just was, when I had this, you know, opportunity, you know, we're going to meet Marlon Brando, I just thought, no, I can't. There's just no way. He's too, he was too cinematic for me. I mean, again, I had a poster of him on my, you know, in my wall. I remember, like, unrolling my poster. I remember moving to my apartment and bringing my Marlon Brando poster. And, you know, he just meant so much to me as an actor. And I just thought, how could you meet someone? Like, what could you say to Marlon Brando that's not going to come off as insipid? And so I ended up being forced to meet him. And but then in the context that we met him, he ended up really responding to me. Mm-hmm. And because I couldn't, he locked, I don't know, he just kind of locked eyes with me, and I just found myself getting, like, incredibly emotional, and I could not hold it back. So I just told him from my heart what his movies had meant to me, and, you know, next thing I knew, I was crying, and then he was crying, and it just turned into this crazy, so like everything that I was, you know, afraid of embarrassing myself, it just ended up being a real, like, truth session, and he ended up getting something from me, which was, like, so incredible, because I think also we put these people up on a pedestal, you know, but they've got real lives too. And we're so afraid to say something because we feel like we're going to be embarrassed or we're going to say the wrong thing. And I feel sometimes like if you just speak from the heart, you know, you're going to be okay. People will sense that their movies have really meant something to them. And I tried to articulate that because I think that each day goes by and we're forgetting about Marlon Brando. You know, we remember the scandals or that he was overweight, but we forget the impact that he made as an actor. Mm-hmm. And those are all the things that I was trying to write about in terms of my meeting with him, as I felt as if I saw a side of him as a man before fame had maybe, you know, destroyed the best part of him. But his movies will be there, you know, forever.
Sure.
But I felt I feel a certain responsibility to be able to communicate that and articulate that as a film lover.
Sure. Well, as somebody who you clearly love movies so much and you take it seriously, I think your book does justice to what you believe in. So you did such a great job. It's a really great book.
Thank you.
And I'll let you get back to your screening, and I'll let you get out of a broom closet. And thank you, Ileana, for making the time and calling in and telling us about the book, and people should check it out. I Blame Dennis Hopper. Now,
okay.
One question I do want to ask you. On the set of Ghost Story, the guy who screens calls for me wants to ask this question.
Yes.
He wants to know what the craft service table was like. He thinks there was probably a fair amount of hard candy on it.
You mean for older gentlemen?
Yes, because they would have a lot of Werther's, is what he's guessing.
No, I have to tell you about that movie because, you know, all the gentlemen were in their 80s, and all three gentlemen, Douglas Fairbanks, my grandfather, and Fred Astaire, all developed pneumonia because they kept making them shoot these scenes, you know, out in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never complained about it. I couldn't believe, like, these huge stars. And, again, it was such a learning lesson.
We're getting dragged. Oh, yeah. And one other, the other guy who works here wants me to ask you about, he's a big ride enthusiast, and he wanted me to ask you about the Aerosmith Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Oh, it could possibly be, you know, my favorite thing I've ever done. Sometimes people will come up to me and, you know, I try to guess, is it going to be Cape Fear? Is it going to be Stir of Echoes? Yeah. Is it going to be Action?
Or,
you know,
the Aerosmith Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Or, and sometimes it's the Aerosmith, and they go, do you have a super stretch? Make it a super stretch.
And for people who don't know, this is, where is this ride?
It's in Florida.
Okay.
In Florida.
Okay.
And we got to go down there, and I'm from Massachusetts, so it was a great thrill to work with Aerosmith.
So you were like you host the ride with them or something? Is that what it
is? Yes. It's a little movie that is, I think you can even watch it on YouTube. It's a little movie that you see before the ride begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I play Aerosmith's manager.
Okay. So you see, Ileana, I wanted to ask all about being there and all these good movies. I got one guy asking me about the craft service table for Ghost Story. The other guy's asking about the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do here with this, with my team. I think we have to have a meeting after the show. This seems like we need a post show, meeting to all get on the same page.
Yes, you can see all three of those. I'll try to comment on all three of these post show.
Okay.
Send a memo.
Thank you. Well, Ileana, thank you again for calling in. The Ileana Douglas, the book is I Blame Dennis Hopper. It's really great, and thank you for taking the time out.
Thanks so much. Have a good night.
You too. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye.
All right, bye. So that was nice, right, Mike? She's awesome. Yeah, she is. And you got your question answered, right? And Dudio got his weird. I tell you, Dudio is outpacing Mike now. Dudio is making a real push. We're closing out 2015 on a strong note between, what is it, Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, and then he wants to know about the rock and roller coaster. Mike's turning into like yesterday's news. He's like the old model of upsetting me. Right? Mike's old fashioned ways of upsetting me just they're not getting the same scares out of me. Which, you know what that makes me think, Mike? God only knows what Pat Byrne is cooking up out there. He's going to be like it's like the future of terror is on its way with Pat. Oh, I don't want to know what that is. But you know what I do want to know is more about the band Sweet Talk. Have a new album out, Double Perfect. Let's hear something from it now. Best Show back in a couple minutes. Sweet Talk.
Oh, guitar feedback.
Hi, everybody. It's Sweet Talk. Yeah, that's Sweet Talk from their new album. Double Perfect on the 12XU label, 12XU.net. They are awesome. 12XU is awesome. We're all awesome. Oh, I didn't even say at the beginning of the show. Goodness gracious. It was the Lame Drivers we heard. Oh, I'm so mortified. It's a song called Sister from Lame Drivers from their new album, Chosen Era. Lame Drivers, what a great album this is. On the Bleeding Gold label. Love it. Good stuff. How'd you like Ileana Douglas, Mike? Right? You did learn some stuff. A lot of good movies. A lot of good movies. Melvin Douglas, that's surprising, right? Yeah. Not the stock I come from, man. Not my stock. No. I'd be more likely to have to lend my grandfather money. Oh, that's right. No Dudevember continues. We'll bring in Fred shortly. Everybody can't wait till he's in here. And I'll tell you one thing, dude. You better not curse in here. He comes in earlier to check the studio out. He's like, this is so bleeping, this bleep that. this toilet mouth. Tell you, not into it. Not into the toilet mouth. What do you think about this, Mike? What if I had a thing where people could try to get, you know, because look, this show is just a losing endeavor. I've determined on the whole, we're taking on water. What if how can we boost it, Mike? What if I did a thing where I'll give you people if they get reel in a big fish, reel me in a big fish, get some super crazy person to call in. No, that's not super, super crazy famous person, not super crazy person. That will take care of itself. But yeah, let's get maybe that. Maybe I'll start throwing. I gotta start throwing prizes around. Right? I'll give prizes if you reel in a big fish. I'll throw you a prize. So the challenge has been thrown. Get me some big names. I want to see who's out there. Hey, Fred, why don't you come in here, my friend? This guy. Oh, look at him. So cool. This guy's cool. Oh, he is. I don't know why they're laughing. I love you. Just sit right there. And first of all, keep it clean. I'll tell you one thing. This guy's wearing a Hawaii shirt. What's the hat? A Hawaii shirt, Hawaii hat. It'd be like if you were in Hawaii and some dude was walking around in New York stuff, right? Like New York, like a I Love New York shirt. It's you're definitely is it keeping you in touch? Because for people who don't know, this guy Fred, and he's been a longtime fan and supporter of the show. And a friend of mine. Oh, he's a friend. You're a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have my number.
I do. You started calling the show from Honolulu. You lived in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
Right? Is that where you're born and raised?
No, I was born in Cebu City, Philippines.
Okay. So when you moved to Hawaii?
When I was 10.
When you were 10. So you identify as a Hawaiian because you've been there you know what I mean? Like, that's where you feel your roots are now. So, but then, God knows what happened to you. If a rock fell on your head or something, you just said, you know where I think I want to live instead of paradise on earth? The Lower East Side. Where the San Gennaro Festival takes place. You're just like, what if I trade this for the street where they just pour Zeppeli grease out at night and they have carnival games, and then maybe you can get an autograph from the guy who played Artie Bucco on The Sopranos. Maybe he's there signing autographs. So you moved there.
Yeah.
What made you move? What was it? What, you felt it? You had to do it?
I had to do it.
You had to do it. Speak up, dude. Speak up.
Sorry, man.
There you go.
How about now? Is that good?
That's good. That's good. Rattle. Look, I'm glad you're here.
I'm very glad I'm here. It hurts a lot more when you say this to my face.
I'm complimenting. I think it's an outstanding thing you did. You went for it.
Yeah.
So many people don't go for it. You went for it.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like lying to my work when I was visiting this place.
So you just started.
My very first call to you, I was hiding from work. And I was like,
in where, like a stairwell?
It was in a stairwell. My first call to you was in a stairwell.
You were literally in a stairwell.
Yeah, like the Dole Cannery stairwell. That was where I was working.
So you worked at the Dole Cannery.
No, it was like they turned the Dole Cannery into like a failed business park, and it's like a warehouse part.
Because you're like an IT guy, right?
No, I was actually I was a packer.
A packer?
Yeah. And then I worked overnight and I did like medical records basically.
Okay. Oh, because you have records. That's the part that made me think IT. I knew you were working with records. So you're jamming records into boxes. Right?
Yeah, I was like whenever like someone gets born, I was the first person to assign like a name to them, like that kind of data entry. Yeah.
All right. And then one day you woke up, you looked out, you saw the water, you saw the beach. And you're just like, I think I'm going to trade this for Katz's Deli. I want to live behind Katz's Deli, basically. So you wanted to get closer to the rats who are filled with pastrami, right? Those pastrami-filled rats out on down there.
I want to see how the other side lived.
You did it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Tom.
But you know what you did also? You showed one thing. You came here, the first thing you did was
betray you.
Betray me. You shuttled the best show. Your love of the best show was clearly passing at best. And then you saw Chris Gethard.
Yeah. I attached myself like a lamprey.
And you said I'm gonna later days, Tom.
Yeah.
David. Right?
Yes.
And now, then he has his show was on Manhattan cable at that point.
Yes. Public access. I shunned you for public access.
Then it ended up on Fusion.
Yeah.
But now that his thing is between seasons, suddenly you're back.
I'm back here begging.
Yeah. You're back. You're just like, it's me. Remember me? So the second his thing comes back again.
Yeah.
I'll never see you again.
Yeah. I'm a seasonal sycophant. I'm always like, you know how people like, you know, like tuna will find these deep currents that we can't see.
Tuna will what?
Yeah, like tuna will find these deep currents deep in the ocean that we can't see. I'm like,
do I look like I know how to fish? Are you've heard the show before, right? You know when I come on and I just talk all about my love of fishing. How many times have you ever heard me talk about fishing?
I have zero metaphors.
Yes, zero. I don't know about, you're telling me about the minutia of how tuna swim and find, I don't go fishing. Tuna, for me, is, again, back to Katz's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To me, fishing for tuna is me handing them that little ticket and saying, yeah, I'll have a tuna sandwich, please.
I love how they make you feel like a shoplifter in there. Like, you're going to leave.
Well, yeah. It's like, there's a guy, for people who don't know, Katz's is this deli. Yeah, if you've ever heard the jerky boys do, send the salami to your boy in the army. It started at Katz's. And the other thing that happened at Katz's is the porno scene from that one Billy Crystal. You know that Billy Crystal porno movie that he made? When Harry Met Sally, where Meg Ryan is in the throes of ecstasy, that took place at Katz's, which I don't know how that could happen because the place smells like a deli. That's the one thing. I don't know who could even pretend to work themselves up in a romantic capacity in that place. It smells like lunch meat. So you go into Katz's, there's a turnstile. There's a guy in basically a cop outfit. Hands you a ticket.
Yeah.
And you are in such trouble if you lose that ticket. Cause then you got these 80-year-olds write numbers, like you'll be like, I'll get a commission, and somebody grabs a ticket from your hand, they start scribbling numbers on it, and then you're like, okay, can I also get a that Celray soda, right? That's disgusting. Celery. So then they take it and they scribble the one number out. They write a new number on it. And then you're walking around with this ticket with these numbers written on it. And then it's like, if I lose this ticket, what are they going to charge me, $1,000?
You can't leave.
Yeah, you can't leave.
You're now part of the staff.
So you're like, your life is hinges on this ticket. The numbers written on it. So for me to go for tuna, it's me going there, handing some 80-year-old the ticket, Say, yeah, tune in. He scribbles $8.99 on it. So what's going on with you now, Fred?
Pretty good, man. I'm between seasons of kissing Chris Gethard's feet.
Yeah. So you're between seasons.
Yeah, I'm over here. I'll wash your feet now.
Okay. Oh, this guy. Now look. Just real quick.
Yeah.
This is not on the air right now.
All right.
You watch those guys work out there for like an hour.
I didn't know. I thought they were just hanging out. I didn't know.
When you saw them, I'm not saying I'm going to get rid of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to get rid of one of them, who should go?
I don't know. You can do that thing in that terrible Batman movie where you like break a pool cue and then you throw it there and then you tell them to settle it.
What are you talking about? Oh, let them fight it out?
Yeah.
No, because Pat will kill both of them.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that.
But I don't know if Pat should be the one who survives.
Okay. Maybe
who should it be?
Maybe you draw up like stats. Like you create a stat card with like, mm-hmm. like it's Dungeons and Dragons. Figure out who is strongest, who's canny.
Your references,
I don't know.
Tuna fishing, Dungeons and Dragons, Batman movies. I don't know who I'm talking to.
I apologize.
That's all right.
I'm really scared to bring up basketball.
Why?
Because I'll reveal myself as a fraud.
About what? What are you going to say? How about the slam dunks? Huh?
How about the Hawks losing tonight?
Did the Hawks lose?
Oh, yeah, they lost. It's very good.
You love it.
Yeah.
Well, who are you rooting for if you love it? You have to not, you can't just be a...
I always felt that I was a fraud if I, like, rooted for teams with long histories. So I mm-hmm. always, like, rooted for, like, expansion teams. But the one team that I actually rooted for was the Rockets.
Okay.
And they're very painful to watch now.
Yeah. Well, the Rockets aren't exactly a brand new team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was the only one. So when I moved over here, as you know, I'm a traitor. So you
went for the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets, yeah.
So you're a Nets fan. So you...
Nets, Mets, Jets.
So you... You decided to take the loser package.
Yes.
The ETS. The ETS.
Yeah.
It's kind of the, you realize that people are born into having to inherit that.
But you're lucky. You got Yankees, you got Giants, you got.
I'm a free agent, man. I root for anybody. I like the love of the game, Fred. Uh-huh. I like watching artistry and talent.
You like watching. The Rockets, it's really difficult to watch it.
Yeah, because they stink. Got James Harden and they got that other guy, the Snidely Whiplash-looking guy. Right? Dwight Howard, he looks like Snidely Whiplash.
James Harden is an artist in drawing fouls. He's amazing.
He's great. I like it. Look, I don't want to talk about basketball. You're not into it. So, Fred, let's take some calls. Bestio, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Alea.
Alea?
Hi, Alea.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Alea?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Hook 'em horns. Is that what it is? What do you say?
War Eagle.
Roll Tide.
No,
Roll Tide, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What does that, now Roll Tide, because that guy, do you know that guy Jason from Alabama, who calls this show?
I'm not sure.
Well, he's a guy. He's a Roll Tide guy. He's always yelling Roll Tide this, Roll Tide that.
Oh gosh!
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
Got a lot down here.
Right?
Yeah.
So what's going on? Sure. What's going on tonight, Alea?
Oh, I'm just chilling in my dorm room on my extra long twin.
Okay, what are we still doing, the Casper mattress commercial?
Yeah. No. Gosh, sorry, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous, so relax.
Oh, okay, so do you remember this guy Andy called in and he was talking about spelling out Jazz Fart on the T-shirt?
Yes,
we
I do.
We did it at the Mountain Goat Show.
You did it. You showed up and spelled out Jazz Fart on shirts.
Yes. I was the
first A. It was a fun night.
That's cool.
It was really cool. Yeah, we got to meet John. It was super fun.
I like it a lot. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. He was really excited to see us. And he was super sweet. And he talked to us for a while. Mm-hmm. I've never seen my friend Andy, like, smile continuously for so long. He has such a man crush on both of you.
Well, that's that's awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
All right, Alea. Bye.
Bye.
Best show. Hello.
Hi, this is Sarah in Queens.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah in Queens, what's going on?
Not a lot. I was hoping to ask Fred from Honolulu a question about celebrity restaurants in Hawaii.
Okay.
Okay.
Fred?
So my mom moved to Maui recently.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. You're going to ask
me.
And one of the places that that we went on Maui was Willie Nelson's bar.
Okay.
Which you know, was like, whatever, it's Willie Nelson's bar. It was interesting in and of itself, but we didn't realize that it was right next to a bar that Ace Frehley owns.
Yeah.
Like literally right next door.
Do you go to the Rock and Brews? The new Rock and Brews?
I think that's what it's called, right? Yeah. That's it. We did not go in. We heard it was terrible. But we did see a poster in the window that advertised that Ace Frehley was going to be there the next day signing autographs for 1 hour in the middle of the day for a $35 fee at his own bar.
Did you go to the other one, the Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina?
Sorry, it's Paul Stanley, not Ace Frehley. Sorry.
Paul and Gene Simmons.
Did you just say the Mick Fleetwood one in Lahaina?
Lahaina, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just saw the sign for it, and then I saw that there's Cheeseburger in Paradise there too, and I was like, how many of these are there in Hawaii? Surely Fred from Honolulu will know.
It does not come with fries, any of their burgers. It's terrible. There's one on each end of Waikiki, I think.
Oh, on each. That's my question.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the call.
Bye.
Sorry, guys. We got close. Best show.
Hi, this is Debbie from Seattle.
How's it, Debbie?
I'm...
Hold on a second.
I closed the door.
Wait, why are you answering? Sky, I see it now.
I'm confused.
I didn't get a chance to...
I'm sorry, Tom.
What's up, Debbie? This is how it goes. I go.
Who am I talking
best show.
To? Hi.
Who am I talking to? Oh, no, this is Tom. Let me tell you, apparently I'm co-hosting this show Debbie. Apparently I don't host it anymore. Fred from Honolulu jumping in. What's up, Debbie?
Hi. I'm so happy to speak to you. Can I just, before I start, can I clarify my name so nobody calls me Debbie? It's Devi with the V.
Oh, Devi. I'm sorry. Devi?
Yep. Yes.
How are you, Devi?
I'm fabulous. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Can I say something? Yes. Or Fred, can I talk now? Do you mind?
I'll just leave.
No. Stay. By all means. What's going on, Devi?
Fred from Honolulu. Wow.
It is Fred from Honolulu.
That's amazing. I've been listening for about like 11 or 12 years, and this is my first time calling. I'm very excited. I'm working on a show poster for a karaoke night in Seattle. Ooh. And my friend is flying some guy in that does like special karaoke songs. So he does like Bikini Kill and Pavement and Black Flag, Archers of Loaf, New Pornographers and like Mountain Goats. And it's going to be really, really fun. But I'm doing the show poster for it. And, I'm really excited about it. But she also, there's this girl on the back of the poster that is wearing this like jacket, and on the back of it says Billy Joel sucks, and I want to know if that's okay because I don't want anybody to think Piano Man.
Oh, that's good. I like it. I like it, Devi.
You have to approve.
I approve.
Or I'll take it off. Okay.
I approve, but let me run this upstairs and make sure it clears. Fred, does that clear? Am I allowed to have an opinion on this show now? What's up, Debbie? So quick.
It's kind of like a hippie punk.
Imagine this, Debbie.
Yes.
I invite this guy. I invite him into this studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And within 6 minutes of taking calls, he's cutting me off. He's like, he's running things. I guess I'm like just running the phone. The phones now?
Well, this will be terrible because
Fred, I'm turning it on you, buddy.
No.
If you think this is bad, wait till you see what's coming up in the third hour.
Yeah. So I wanted to vet that with you and also just tell you thank you for getting me into Nathan for You because it's awesome, and also Michael Cronin because I'm upset.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Debbie. Hey. You have a great night. Oh no. Sorry. Sorry. We're not done yet.
Hey, Debbie?
Yeah?
Have you heard of Uncle Ike's?
Uncle Ike's?
It's the second legal store in Seattle.
In Seattle?
Yes.
I have heard of it. I've only purchased one time, and it was really, really strange, and the girls looked so glazed over it, but it was kind of a weird experience.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
If you do swing by again, my best friend runs that place.
Wait, what is it?
Really?
Yeah.
Uncle Ike.
He's recommending a weed store.
Okay. No, don't say that loud.
In Seattle.
So wait a minute. This guy comes here. Let me just get this straight. I'm not putting any judgments on this. I invite him here. He's now doing weed commercials on my show for Uncle Ike's. He's now openly doing promos for his friend's weed shop. Telling people, yeah, go in and ask for, who are they supposed to ask for?
Kenji.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just ask for, yeah.
And call it Unky Ikes when you're there.
Go in and ask for Unky him and Ike. You get a discount? This guy. I tell you, this is not the same Fred. This is Showbiz Fred now. This is Showbiz Fred. You're hanging out with your Showbiz buddies.
Sorry,
too much.
Snorting.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate the call. You have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Oh, Fred.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm ruining this.
You know what, though? You're not sorry. Don't worry.
After this, I'm sorry.
After this, you'll be talking to Kenji. You'll be like, yeah, I got your weed plug on. Don't worry. I got your weed plug on, buddy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom and Fred. This is Amy.
How's it, Amy?
You did it again!
I did it on purpose that time.
Wait, what just happened?
He just cuts me off and he's talking to you before I'm getting a chance to talk to you the way I do, the way I've talked to callers for 15 years on this show.
I'll just talk to you then, Tom.
No, by all means, talk to both of us. I would love for you to talk to Fred. What's going on, Amy?
So I'm from Philadelphia. I had called earlier originally because you were talking about the fuzz crowd, but a lot has transpired since then. I was calling about an uncomfortable celebrity interaction that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Not this past summer, but the summer before, I went to a Paramore and Fall Out Boy concert.
Okay, and what happened? You clearly lost some sort of bet. And then you had to go see Paramore and Fall Out Boy live?
No, I voluntarily and excitedly went to this concert.
Mm-hmm.
And had some friends who had connections, so I was able to, like, go to the after party, which was basically behind the Susquehanna Bank Center in Camden. That's where they had their after party.
Well, that really is a great atmosphere for a party.
Camden's great for that.
Yeah, what a great place to just cut loose and have a good time and just forget all your problems.
Yeah, right? Nothing to worry about.
As you're in Murder City.
I met, like, a bunch of people throughout the evening and was able to maintain my certain level of cool, but I met Patrick Stump.
Patrick Stumpf, the lead singer of...
Right, the lead singer of Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
And someone had told me that he was a huge fan of Squeeze.
Okay.
and I like Squeeze. But I had been imbibing some alcohol, so I was not, like, as sharp as I would have liked to have been.
Okay.
So I was introduced to him. I was very nervous. And I was like, oh, I hear you like Squeeze. And then proceeded to sing a Badfinger song to him.
What Badfinger song did you sing?
Come and Get It.
And you thought, in your mind, you just swapped that out for Squeeze. A song that couldn't be more of a Paul McCartney song.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what my brain did. And I was like, he just was really polite and nodded along and then walked away immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty good story. I like that one. Patrick yeah. Stumpf.
Yeah. Also, Patti Smith was in Philadelphia like a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you couldn't just be top of the mountain here with an embarrassing story. At the end, you had to bring mine up just so you weren't alone there on foot in mouth mountain.
Worse.
What's that?
I think mine is worse.
No, I would say
which
no.
Is a
you,
whole level of embarrassment.
You said you had had some drinks.
Yeah, but he didn't know that.
Yeah, I was as sober as can be. Did yours happen in an elevator?
No.
No, okay.
It happened in elevators.
Advantage Tom, twice. And did he run from you with a look of terror in his eyes?
No.
Nope. Sorry. You just went with strike 1, 2, 3. You're out.
Oh,
well, thank you. I do like your story, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, bye. Did you get a text yet from Kenji? Saying, thanks, man.
You know, he can't pay me unless it's cash.
Yeah. Can't wait to see that FedEx envelope show up. Right? From a FedEx envelope shows up from Seattle. Right? You're going to have some German shepherds. They'll be so busy sniffing the pastrami. That's your only saving grace, is that they'll be smelling half-eaten knishes. I like how I'm pretending you still live on that street, even though I know you don't. You moved to Brooklyn now.
Yeah, I live in Bed-Stuy.
Okay, and that's working for you?
I love it, good. Yeah. It's great.
Look, I'm happy you're here. The list is getting shorter.
What list?
Of people who are happy you're here. You're taunting Gethard all day.
Of course.
And who you taunt people. Now that's your like thing. You're like a provocateur. Right? Who else were you taunting? You were telling me you were teasing somebody else.
No.
You don't want to talk about that?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. Look.
I got in trouble at the Gethard show for it.
Okay. This guy. Best show. You're on.
Hello. My name is Madeline. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hey, Madeline.
I just wanted to commend your running commentary on the leisure class. Every tweet, every mention on the show has just brought a smile to my face. I couldn't call in when it was like a more relevant discussion a couple weeks ago. But
well, I'm glad to hear that. It's about time somebody turned the spotlight on to the 1% and really made fun of them because nobody can think of a way to get in there and kind of zing them. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
Nobody can give them the business.
No. No, they can't. I was also calling because Nathan For You seems to be being brought up quite often tonight, which I'm all in favor of.
People love it.
And, yeah, it's brilliant. But I actually became obsessed with that Bill Gates impersonator to the point where I, like, tracked him down to hire him for my birthday. Like, I was quoting him daily, making references to him daily. And my colleague was like, we're just going to hire this guy for your birthday.
To, oh, that is fantastic.
That, like, quotes it. And he's, like, he's a maniac. Firstly,
allegedly, I don't know. Look, I don't know if you have some axe to grind with.
No,
Bill
Gates
in person.
It was brilliant. It was an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. I'm
You called him a maniac.
Right now, so. That was a bad choice of word, but he was an interesting fellow. He started talking about 9/11 within the first 10 minutes of meeting, and then going on about college football, like howling the Arkansas Razorbacks, I think the team is, their call, like full-out bellow,
Wow, what an amazing birthday that must have been. What a, right?
Yeah,
really just a great way to celebrate being alive on planet Earth for another year.
It was really one for the books, yeah.
Getting lectured about college football chants and 9/11 by a Bill Gates impersonator.
And then he was supposed to tell the patrons of the party that he was Bill Gates and, you know, go into his whole spiel. But, like, he had printed out, like, 100 pages of Wikipedia stuff that he was reading off of. Mm-hmm. It was very awkward for everyone involved.
I love it.
But
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we kind of did an interview where we're like, "Listen, you're Bill Gates. So this for me. Just do it for me." And so he was in character for about 10 minutes.
Wow, that is a great birthday. I love it. I love your story.
I used to work at a – I used to deliver Chinese food, and then our manager was Chinese dude from Hong Kong, and he gathered us between, like, the dinner and the lunch rushes. He gathered us and was like, "Check out this article about Bill Gates." And at the time, I did not know this was, like, a tabloid. I thought it was just, like, a Chinese newspaper. And he was trying to convince us that Bill Gates owned a whale. And had a whale in the middle of this. Like, he said these journalists went to his house.
And had a pet whale?
And had a pet whale in the middle. And I, like, believed him for, like, years. I was like, oh, my God. That.
You thought Bill Gates had a pet whale?
Yeah.
Because this guy had, like, some.
Yeah, he had a paper. So I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That is so funny.
When he was in character and we asked him, like, we're like, what's some general financial advice for everyone? And he was like, "We have to go to Africa to the children," you know, how he just kind of goes off of, about whatever he wants to. But he kept saying that we had to go to Africa and help kids in regards to, like, stock inquiries.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Frank Deidre. 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid, and he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. He's just trying to survive.
Mothership control in readiness. Sonic assassins cleared for space flight. Countdown starting now. 30.
Countdown started. All units prepare for activation.
25.
Production androids activated. Now.
The tape is rolling. The red orb is glowing.
20.
Audience receptor units activated. Now.
15.
Music distribution equipment activated. Now.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
All units
three,
activated.
2, 1,
terminating.
Countdown complete.
All units functioning. Movement commencing. We have liftoff.
I want to have it.
Joe's gonna give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I gotta get it when I'm on a picnic. And lay it out. You know you wanna give it up. You gotta give it up.
Can you tell me?
Someone has defecated on the benches.
So I don't wear hats, but that's...
Oh, no, I remember in 76 you had one on.
No, you don't remember that, Mike, because I did not. I don't wear one, sorry. So, you know, you probably, you weren't there in 76, so what are you talking about?
Hey, Mike, I have a question about Murphy. You've got to admit, what this guy's doing in the playoffs is everything a guy like Rick Nash can't do. And by the way, Mickey Mantle...
What does Rick Nash have to do with Daniel Murphy? I mean, come on now.
But would you admit that Mickey Mantle was one of the most overrated players during the regular season?
Mike.
But he wasn't in the playoffs.
Mike. You know what, Mike, you know what? I think you've called too much. I think, you know, for a while, let's take a rest, okay? I think you've called too much. Now you're just calling to try and bait me into something stupid. So why don't you take a rest? Joe in Massapequa Park, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike.
Mike can take a rest for a while.
How are you, Mike?
What's happening?
I'm lifting these things. I'm literally thinking about combat. I'm literally thinking about fighting for my life. I put myself in a state right before I'm going to work out. Chalk it up. I'm about to get an intense workout in. I really feel like I'm about to do battle. I get my head in place.
Defecated on the benches.
to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me something nuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
You know, I'm like playing around, ignoring them, you know, trying to make my job entertaining.
Yeah.
And they say again, more pizza, slave.
Hold on, they called you a slave?
Yeah, yeah.
More pizza, slave.
Just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
All right, well, for the sake of this conversation, let's say the book does not exist.
And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing. So definitely check it out. Regular Guys Spooktacular, Friday, October 27th. More info, 96rock.com.
I want to tell you, we're not out of gas this time. It's really been a gas.
Take me out to the ball game.
The singing gorilla will be there performing, so definitely check it out. And Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, will be there performing, so definitely check it out.
Quite my tempo. Here we go. 5, 6. Not quite my tempo. It's all good. No worries. Here we go. 5, 6, 7.
Officially running
for President of the United States.
There's some punks on the game,
isn't there? I fell in love in the front seat of a 56 Ford at a drive-in movie, sliding over toward a girl in shorts and necking a little on a bench seat, no gear shift in the middle. She was young and eager. It didn't take much to slip her in gear and let out the clutch. But the beautiful bench where we performed our feats has been replaced by two bucket seats.
Someone has defecated on the Bentley.
Oh, everybody. Hey, Mike, you like that? You have fun? Good. A lot of good old fashioned laughs. Good. That's all it's meant to be. A good blow, a good return to the way it used to be. Sarsaparilla the Gorilla. Jason's Folly was dropping that. 2 years from now, he's going to go, all right, enough of the Sarsaparilla of the Gorilla. Oh, it's the best show. I'm here with my buddy Fred. Fred, formerly from Honolulu?
Fred Stye works, too.
Fred Stye.
Yeah.
Fred Stye. The marketing here goes on. Like I'm in with, Faith Popcorn. I feel like I'm talking to Faith, right? Is this, Jeepers, Creepers. Well, there's something else, on the docket here tonight, Fred.
Okay.
Have you ever been on a game show before?
Yeah, I was on Dr. Game Show with...
Joe Firestone. So was I.
Yeah.
I was on that too.
That was a great episode.
It was fun. I didn't hear your episode.
Yeah,
was it good? was it fun?
Yeah, it was with her dad.
Oh.
It was also named Fred.
That's also, it was a battle of the Freds.
Yeah, I was Little Fred. It was fun.
Little Fred?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Little Fred. Jason? Mike?
Yeah.
Can you get in position?
Okay. Is this how the hashtag wars start? Or?
This is not how the hashtag wars start, Fred. But you, sir, are about to be on a new game show that everybody's talking all about, or will be talking about. I'm going to leave now, and I guess I'm just going to hand it over to... Which one of these things is it? Which one? I was told to play, but this is the theme music to play.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America, the USA's number one trivia game show. I'm Jason Gore, and it is my privilege to introduce Gary the Squirrel.
All right! Yeah! Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America! Let's hear it! Wait, where'd my announcer go? Will you just leave? I didn't do my banter yet! What's up? What's going on?
Things are good.
Good. All right, you can go now.
Been there?
I'm not going to do an interview with you.
Been there, done that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody! Welcome to... What's the show called again?
Trivia Night in America.
Get out of the squirrels! Trivia Night in America! America's number one question and answer quiz show. Boy, we got an exciting panel here tonight. Boy, oh boy. Who do we got? Oh boy. This is what we got, huh? These are really my guests. Contestants.
Yeah.
All right, my first contestant from... We're in New York. Fred. He likes, what do you like to do?
I like hanging out with you, Gary.
He likes hanging out with my boy.
Kissing up.
I like hanging out. He likes hanging out with me and kissing up. Please welcome Fred from Bed-Stuy.
Hi, Gary.
The other contestant, he's from Bayonne. And he enjoys beer and bootleg DVDs that he gets in the parking lot. Please welcome Mike.
Hi, Gary.
How are you? Welcome, guys.
I'm good.
Welcome to Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America. Now, the way this game is going to work, I'm going to ask questions and you guys answer them. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you got the answer, you say, I got it! I say, like, Fred's got it! Or Mike's got it!
Okay.
Because to be completely honest, your voices both put me to sleep. Seems like Fred's been dipping into Uncle Ike's supply. A little too early.
Yeah.
And how many cores are you into tonight, Mike?
I had a few.
Good, good. This will be good for the game. Good for the game.
I broke the seal.
Yeah. Oh, boy. He broke the seal. So that is how it works. If you got an answer, you say, Fred's got it or Mike's got it.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Question one. The founder of what beer shares the first name with the embodiment of evil?
Got it.
Hold on. This is my music. Let me get this going here. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
First thing you're supposed to say, Mike's got it.
Mike's got it.
All right.
Yeah.
What's your answer?
Adolf Coors.
Adolf Coors, that's correct. That's correct, Adolf Coors. And one for Mike, none for Fred. All right, question two. Let's see here what we got for question two. Question two. Here we go. Which member of what rap group burned her football player boyfriend's house down?
Fred's got it.
I got it.
Fred's got it.
Okay.
That's TLC. That's Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
That's correct. One to one. All right, another music question. Wanna... Wait, hold on a second.
We have some background music that might have...
Yeah, hold on! Oh, boy.
These pregnant pauses.
Can't win.
These pregnant pauses.
Can't win. All right, next question. The TV show Silicon Valley. What's the name of the company they work for?
Fred's got it.
Hold on. All right, Fred's got it. What is it?
Is it Pied Piper?
I'll accept that. But I was looking for... Hooli! Hooli! It's two for Fred, one for Mike. One, two for Fred. All right. Next question. Coors? That's how I'll do it. I'll do it over the questions. Next question. Coors is brewed where?
I got it. Colorado.
We need the city.
Boulder. Boulder.
Well, that is incorrect.
Oh, sorry.
Would you like to steal?
I'll try.
Let's hear it.
Is it Denver?
No, it's not Denver. Didn't you ever read one of the cans you drink?
No, I don't read the cans.
Golden, Colorado.
Oh, Golden.
I think that's what it is, right? Golden?
You're asking me. You're supposed to have the facts.
All right, all right. Next question. Alive, there's a fast round of alive or dead. You ready? Here we go. Alive or dead? Pauly Walnuts.
I got it. Alive.
That's correct. We're tied at two. Next one. Shaja Kabor.
Fred's got it. Dead.
She's alive!
No!
Would you like to steal? No,
I can't. Yeah.
No, never mind.
I got it.
Then forget it. You don't got it. Next one! Kent Stabler!
I got it. Dead.
That's correct. Mike's in the lead!
Oh, no.
With three! The two for Fred. Next one. Father Phil!
I got it. Alive.
That's correct.
Who is Father Phil?
From The Sopranos.
Oh, okay.
All right, next one. Celebrity chef Paul Prudhomme.
I got it.
Got it.
Go ahead.
What? Dead. Dead. Not dead.
No, you said alive.
No, well, I meant dead.
Which one is it?
It's dead.
Because you had it right. Which
it's
one is it?
Dead.
It's dead?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Oh, no. I'm
Five getting, to two.
Getting buried.
All right, let's get another question. Hold on. Cue this up. So while I'm queuing this up, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah. How much prep did you put into this show?
Mike, what was the gnarliest bar fight you've ever seen at your bar?
I haven't had any fights. I've been lucky that way.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I had near fights, a couple.
What's the most contentious thing?
All right, shut up. Next question. Okay, here it is. Who, after anchoring off of Hawaii in 1779, was mistaken for the god Lono?
I got it.
No, brother.
Who?
Is it Captain Cook?
That's correct. Captain James Cook. 5-3. You didn't get that one, Mike?
Yeah.
All right.
I thought maybe it was a comic book question.
Next one. What laundry detergent got loads of mileage out of the ad line, Ring Around the Collar?
I got it.
Got it.
Mike's got it.
Whisk?
Whisk is correct. 7-3. 6-3. 6-3. Okay. Who was billed as the killer of Custer in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show?
I got it. Sitting Bull.
Sitting Bull is correct. 7-3. All right, here we go. One ingredient in fresh milk is eventually devoured by bacteria, causing the sour taste.
I got it.
You got
calcium?
Wrong.
Is it sugar?
Wrong.
Ugh.
Stupid. Name the world's biggest island.
What was the answer?
Lactose.
I got it.
What?
Australia?
Wrong.
Oh, my God.
Is it a question?
Name the world's biggest island. Who are you passing to?
I get another.
Greenland!
Oh, Greenland. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, back to Dead or Alive. Author Herman Wolk.
Mike's got it.
Dead. Correct. 8-3.
Oh, God.
Dead or Alive. Jack Stellar.
Fred's got it.
Dead. That's right. Jack Stellar's dead. Got smeared on the front of a tractor trailer. Dead or Alive. Rosie April.
Got it. Alive.
That's correct. 9-4. All right. Final question. This one's worth 80 points.
What was the point of the rest of the game?
Dramatic build-up.
This is like the hockey season.
How so?
Because the playoffs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody makes the playoffs. Yeah. Hockey. Inside,
okay,
so.
Here we go. Final question worth 80 points. Give a good one. What's the real name of Joey Jordison from Slipknot?
Oh my God.
I have no idea.
Okay. Fred?
I have no idea. Okay.
And the real next final question. It's worth 200 points. What is Taylor Hansen's full name from Hansen? Nothing?
Oh, nothing.
All right. Final question. This one's worth 300 points. Let's see. What famous star appeared in Paula Abdul's Rush Rush video?
Famous what?
The video for the song, yeah. Rush, Rush.
But what is it, the famous?
What star appeared in it? Worth 300 points.
Hanging fruit.
You should have got that one, Fred.
I don't know.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God.
All right.
His name means mountain wind.
I didn't know that. Okay. I learned something tonight.
All right. Final one worth 1,000 points. Name three members of the Backstreet Boys.
Oh,
I got it. Do you need, like, full names or just...
Yeah, full names.
I don't got it.
Okay, well, then just first names.
There's Nick. There's Aaron. And there's Jordan.
What? That's the wrong group.
Oh, no.
Nick, Howie, Dora...
Yeah, I think you got NSYNC.
Yeah. All right. Nobody wins. Get out of my... Get off the set! This is a failure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Gary.
Stay tuned again for another episode of... Wait, where'd my announcer go? Never mind. He's fired. Mike sucked. Fred sucked. You all sucked. This is supposed to be my big shot. Why don't you come in and say, thanks for watching, thanks for listening to Gary the Squirrels Trivia Night in America.
Thanks for listening to Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America.
This is Jason Gore signing off.
This is Jason Gore signing off.
And when in Seattle, go to Uncle Something's Weed Shop.
And when in Seattle, go to Uncle Something's Weed Shop.
Tell Fred sent you.
Tell him Fred sent you.
Where do I see
get up.
Gorilla?
Gary the Squirrel, out!
Just ran off. Well, that was something.
That was great.
You were on the first episode of Gary the Squirrel's Trivia Night in America.
It's amazing.
That was, yeah, that sure was something else. So, what's going on? Well, what are you going to say?
No.
Were you going to say go to your friend's shop?
No, I just wanted to know where I can see the Sarsaparilla Gorilla playing.
You wanted to ask?
I want to ask Jason where the whereabouts of the Sarsaparilla Gorilla is.
He doesn't know. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sydney.
Hi, Sydney. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Francisco, but I'm actually originally from Hawaii, so I wanted to say hi to Fred.
Hey, how's it going, Sydney? Where are you from?
Big Island.
Oh, where in Big Island? Kau? Hilo?
Waimea. So,
oh, okay.
Small town.
Dope.
When you hit all the cows, you know you're in the right area. So, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good. What's going on in San Francisco right now?
Not a hell of a lot. The best show.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, how long have you lived on the mainland?
Like a year? And I don't know, a year and a half about it. Yeah.
All right. How's the culture shock treating you?
It's pretty good. And where in San Francisco are you in?
I'm right in the city. So
you're
I'm
in
not
the city?
Like, oh, I'm in San Francisco, but I'm actually in, like, I don't know, Tracy or something. Mm. One of the weird way out towns that Bart doesn't even go to.
My buddy Kaika used to work at the SFO as a immigration officer, and he had some really good stories about who he got to be abused by in terms of famous people.
All right, I want to hear that. Okay,
give me one. Okay, The Cure is really cool. Metallica is naturally not cool.
Not cool. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then one time he had to deport Corey Haim's girlfriend back to Canada. He was not cool.
He was going to show off the actual Canadian girlfriend. And then, no.
Well, that's I appreciate. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to line two here. Best show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Hey, it's we're only taking calls from non-dudes now. So who is this?
I heard that rumor. I have to call up for my honor. It's Chris Gethard.
No, no.
Oh, it's Chris Gethard, the guy that Fred has been ripping nonstop.
Is that true? Because I was listening to the early part of the show, Kansas City Girl, and then I was listening to your Gethard book. Then I had to get on stage at a stand-up night at the Stand, and then I was just listening to Fred play with Gary the Squirrel, but I didn't hear him ripping on me in between. I was saying
he was ripping on you. He was ripping on you off the air.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm calling. Tom, the guy texts me today out of the blue. I haven't heard from him in weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now that the Chris Gethard show's down, he's got nothing to talk to me about.
Well, he's back. He's looking to see what I have going on over here.
Yeah.
Jumping back in your direction.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
He texts me, I'm on the best show tonight, and I go, that's awesome. And then inexplicably, prompted by nothing, he writes back, I bet you won't call in, coward.
That's not what I said. I said, call in, coward. That is...
He was saying he's a huge fan of Colin Cowherd.
Yeah.
The Herd.
From ESPN Radio.
Yes. He's a big, that's what, no, Chris, that's what he was saying. He admires the broadcasting skills of Colin Cowherd and his hot takes on sports.
And race.
Tell the, yes,
and race.
Tell the listener a little off. Okay, that's my bad then. Yeah, there was no need for me to call. I guess I can just talk to you later.
Well, I hope you'll come down here. Won't you come down and hang out on a Tuesday night, Chris?
Yeah, I would love that more than anything.
I asked him to come down, but he was like, nah.
He wasn't like, nah. He was like, I have a commitment to go on stage somewhere already tonight. I like how,
what's going on? What is Fred? Why is Fred trying to bait? He's calling me a coward. He's trying to get me in trouble with you. I don't get what the deal is with this guy Fred all of a sudden.
He's mischievous. He's stirring it up. He's like,
I don't
call in, coward.
I know. I feel like he's got some weird vendetta against me that I don't quite understand because we're friends.
He's got an axe to grind. He's coming here. He's doing that thing. You know what he's doing? He comes here. He's the guy who starts the fire to be the first one at the fire to start saving people. He's the nurse who unplugs a machine to be the first one to rush into the room to realize a machine was unplugged.
It's exactly right. It's
an angel.
Total MO.
Yeah, it's an angel of death.
Big time. Big time.
Fred, you're an angel of death.
That's fine.
That's fine. Somebody just wrote, Bad Guy Zero just wrote that this is the night that Fred turns into a heel. This is your heel turn.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Fred, you were taunting me via text earlier today.
Chris, I recommended, Chris is a little paranoid. Like, the last time I texted him. I texted him about a documentary about his new neighborhood, and then he accused me of calling him a gentrifier. I was like,
"You were implying."
No, I was not implying
that I was a gentrifier.
No.
You'll like this, Fred, with the Chris Caput show. He was the assistant social media manager of the show. That was his job. He was in charge. He was one of the people in charge of our social media.
Yeah.
One of his first days in the office, he tweets out that we're all racist.
No.
That everyone on the show is a racist?
Yeah, that we're all racist.
That's not how it works. It was, this is what I did. They put out a promotional still that you see it everywhere, and it's them sitting on a dilapidated porch, and then I tweeted out, hashtag gentrification, at which point Jake Foldenest and, one of our head writers, Joe Firestone, retweeted it.
And I have to say to Fred, do you think it's good that our own social media manager is leading a charge of saying that we're the white gentrifiers ruining New York City? Do you think that's a good look for our own social media manager to be spreading that message? But I will say this, if I ever needed to kill time, I'd just walk into Fred's office and I'd just say something like, how do people from Samoa feel about people from Tonga? And he'd just talk for 90 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm all about, like, regional conflicts. Like, one of my favorite things ever about Chris is his, like
humor?
Yes. And his micro-neighborhood hatreds. Like, it's like, oh, these... Mm-hmm. It's, like, amazing. It's like, how do you hate someone from down the hill?
And he's Well, we got, what's that one Polynesian group that really takes it on the chin that you told me about for 45 minutes?
Yeah, we're talking about the different Micronesians in Hawaii and how they're at the bottom of the social ladder, yeah. That's riveting radio.
No, who is it?
No, there's like the Chukis and then there's like the Chukis and then there's, they're like hating on.
I think it's interesting.
But then you told me that Hawaii is basically just a series of different people getting in gang fights all the time.
Whoa. I did say the union, a lot of the labor conflicts was based on the plantation owners specifically dividing us by race, yeah.
Now, Fred, when you see a movie that's just like really authentic Hawaiian life with like The Descendants, for example,
that's a good one.
Where it just shows real Hawaiians just doing their thing. Like, you know, real Hawaiians like George Clooney and Beau Bridges and Rob Hubel.
I mean, the book.
Rob Hubel in that?
Yeah.
So. But it just shows, like, the guys, are you just like, it's a real slice of Hawaii. It makes you feel like you're at home again.
I mean, that's outsiders making out. But like what Kawi Hart Hemmings, like that book, it really does touch on how like how a lot of Native Hawaiians don't ascribe to like the politics of brown. Like a lot of them are basically white and then still maintain a lot of like the advantages of being quote unquote Native Hawaiian, even though they're at the upper crust. But it's not the, it's, that's, she,
so they get to have it every which way.
Yeah. But like the ones that are like,
kind of like the way Blade was, not to, not to simplify things. Because he had all of the vampire strengths and none of their weaknesses because he was a daywalker. So but is that what you're saying?
The one...
George Clooney's a daywalker?
The person I would legitimately punch in the face would be Rob Schneider. Like, Rob Schneider has ties to Hawaii.
Yes.
And then, like, he went out there and...
This could go on for hours,
Tom. I'm right. Well, there's only 12 minutes left in the show, so there's a finish line. Insight.
The whole half hour of Power Tonight. It supports the Hawaiian.
I want this. I want to hear this. This is
when this is how a production day goes. In the Chris Gethard show, Chris will wake up from his 4 hour nap, and then he'll walk into the production
office.
What
was that about? You just sold Chris out.
By 4 hour nap, he means me having a 4 hour long panic attack behind the door of my office.
Your body shut. Your body finally shut itself down on you. Like your body finally overrides your brain and shuts it down for a few hours so you can reboot and not have an infinite panic attack. And he's making it sound like you're on like a hammock.
Exactly.
With a tropical drink.
He's a master manipulator.
He's out there.
I'd emerge from my office and say to Fred, like, hey, tell me about, like, those non-native snakes in Guam. Just talk forever. It was the best.
He, like, chugs half a Wawa iced tea. And then.
Who got me that, Fred?
I did, for your birthday. I carried 8 of them on the path.
Wow, a whole 8 iced teas.
No, it's like the big half gallons.
$4.
It's about the effort, man.
Really went out for your boss. Huh?
I can't like get it shipped. Like I have to like.
Sure you can. I don't get anything shipped. You go to Wawa.com. You don't tell me they couldn't drop a skid of iced tea off. Chris, I'm gonna buy you 200 pounds of iced tea now, just to prove to Fred that it's possible.
Thank you.
Please email me a shipping address because literally a pallet is gonna show up with just Wawa iced tea on it.
Yeah, it's not really a gift until you're measuring your liquids in pounds.
That's exactly it. I don't have time for to measure this in gallons or ounces. No.
Liters, come on.
No.
Come on.
We're talking about on the back of a tractor trailer. All right. I'm going to start moving this along to the finish line, Chris. Thank you for checking in and I'm sorry Fred is giving you the business.
Yeah,
like
I love you, okay. Chris. You know that.
I love you, Fred, and I love you, Tom, and thanks for letting me talk a little bit, even though I really mostly wanted to call in because Fred did threaten my manhood, and I felt weird about it.
You hear that? On No Dude Vember, male got threatened, and he needed
Sorry, I apologize for breaking the sacred rule of No Dude Vember.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you later, Chris. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good,
okay,
man. Bye. Right,
bye. Bye, Chris.
You are. You just stir it up, don't you? And I like it.
Yeah.
I admire it. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I think it's awesome that's what you're doing.
I will reveal one thing that got kind of some traction. I once threatened to fight everyone in Belle and Sebastian and their fans.
Uh-huh.
Because my buddy Sarah Sahim wrote this article called The Unbearable Whiteness of Indy, and mm-hmm. she was just assaulted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll turn on my location. I have a Metro card.
Yeah.
And we can duke it out.
So you were ready to fight the 11 people in Belle and Sebastian.
Not just Belle and Sebastian, but mostly like their fans who were just like slinging mm-hmm. racist trash at her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was good.
I like this. This is one of the many things I like about you, Fred. You've got backbone. And you walk the walk.
It's like I have nothing, so what am I going to lose?
You walk the walk. Look, I'm trash.
Oh, come on, dude.
No, I come from nothing. I come from nothing, Fred.
Yeah.
We're talking about class. Mm-hmm. I come from nothing.
I believe it.
Nothing, Fred. Nothing.
Okay. Tom, I don't even know what ethnicity you are. We've all been, like, wildly speculating.
Yeah, well, you keep speculating. Because I'm just Jersey trash, man.
No.
I'm spread across the board. A little bit of everything. Yeah. But when the push comes to shove, Jersey trash.
There's definitely something that I remember when I was like looking out into the mainland and trying to figure out where I wanted to visit first. Mm-hmm. And I came up with three places: Chicago, San Francisco, or Jersey. Mm-hmm. There's like something about Jersey, yeah. About like I really relate to the idea that you guys keep looking at New York, and then mm-hmm. these New York guys just keep on, mm-hmm. you know, trashing you for no reason. That's like Hawaii, man. Like you just look at these hotels mm-hmm. and all these tourists, and they have like the best pieces of land, mm-hmm. and they're hating on you for not like,
yeah,
living
for existing.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Class wise, man, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. You know what I mean? Look, I'm still a white dude. I still get a free pass on plenty of things, mm-hmm. right? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When there ain't no fuel, heat's getting shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what your background is.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold. Don't matter, right?
Okay.
Shut it off. They shut it off. Shut off just as fast. Well, maybe they'll probably shut it off faster on a non-white person, actually. That's actually completely
It
inaccurate.
Took me 21 days to get my gas back on.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I live in a black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Fred, let's go back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jewel.
Jewel, where are you calling from?
I'm from New York.
Jewel from New York. Where in New York are, if you don't mind me asking?
From Manhattan.
Oh, this is another Gethard Show staffer. Hi, Jewel.
Yeah, hey, Fred.
How you living?
Pretty good. What about you? I want to say, first of all, Fred's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that you needed non-dudes to call in, so. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yes, of course. So you work with Fred?
Yeah, I work with Fred on the Gethard Show.
Is he a nice guy? He's a nice co-worker?
He is, yeah.
That's a lie.
He is to me.
Does he brag a lot about, like, how he gave Chris 4 iced teas from a Wawa? $4 worth of iced tea?
I must have missed that particular anecdote. Mm-hmm. I'm upset to have missed that one.
That was secret iced tea, and he put it out in the public.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So give me more of this Rob Schneider stuff. You didn't finish your thing there.
No, Rob Schneider has ties in Hawaii, and there's no reason, like, he knows exactly what all the horrible stereotypes are, and mm-hmm. he put it out there and profited off it. So
you, like, cashed out on him.
Yeah, and also, like, it's also this weird thing where, like, you know, stereotype or whatever. You're on an island. Everybody knows, and all my friends are service people. They all work hotels and all that stuff and other more mm-hmm. illicit trades, shall we say? And like, Rob Schneider has like every time he comes, he's a terrible human being. Like, mm-hmm. just not.
Well, Fred, I'm looking at a picture of Belle and Sebastian right now. I'm looking at this picture. So you're saying just you.
Uh-huh.
All at once or one at a time?
Doesn't matter, man. All of them at the same time. Are they going to hit me with a mandolin? Like, what are they going to do? Stuart Murdoch is a coward.
All right. Call him out. I don't think you could beat all eight of these guys
at
the same time.
Oh, yeah, I can.
I think you'd get a cello smashed over your head from behind.
No, I guarantee you a roadie lifts those cellos. There's no way that they're able to lift it on stage.
You are so ridiculously funny. I'm so glad. Yeah. Well, Jewel, anything else before I say goodnight?
Yeah. I looked up the show and discovered that Fred is not listed on the Wikipedia page as one of the regular callers of note. And I feel like that is just...
Okay.
That's
What do I care? What do I you think? You think I run the Wikipedia for that?
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying,
why'd you
like,
fix it?
Man, whoever wrote this Wikipedia left Fred out.
You're right. It's right. Well, who do you think writes Wikipedia? People put their own name on the thing. The only thing that tells me is that Fred didn't write on Wikipedia because everybody else wrote themselves down.
There has been
Barry must have written it because he's the first guest of note listed.
Oh, wait, so you're putting me under the microscope here for a Wikipedia page?
No, not you. I'm saying that is one of the facts I think I learned about Fred.
Well, what is Fred? So Fred's a caller of note? Really?
I'm just saying personally.
Read the names on that list. Let me hear some of the names. Please. Indulge me.
Todd Barry, Andy Kindler, Amy Mann, Paul F. Tompkins, yes. Ted Leo, John Hodgman, and Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do they all have in common? What does Fred not have that those people all have?
Money.
Fame.
I do. There was someone. Someone did. I used to be on the Gethard Wikipedia, and someone struck my name.
Did someone take you off?
No, I used to be listed as the king of callers there, and then someone struck it.
You really think Fred should be on that list with all those people you
named? No, I want to go to bat for Fred as a friend, that's one of the first things I learned about him. So
is what? That he... I don't even know what to make of this.
That he called all the time and was, you know.
Do you know the show, Jewel? Do you know this show? You don't know this show.
I know of this show.
You know
show,
of it. So that means that the answer to that is no, I don't. And that's fine. I'm just saying there are a lot of people who call and they would be on a different list of people that Fred would be at the top of. Not that list.
I'm not calling to start trouble.
Oh, no. You and Fred, the two of you. The one that Gethard show, people working up there. Chris is pulling his hair out.
Ask Fred if I've ever started trouble with anyone.
I don't have to. You started it right now with me.
I wasn't calling to start trouble. I was saying I was sad to not see him on there. I wasn't saying, you know, obviously I don't expect
What would
to
be
see.
Said? You don't see my name listed when they list the New York Knicks, do you? That's sad, too. I wish I was on that list. But I'm not. Thank you for calling, Joel. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Joel.
Have a great night. Fred with his agents of misery.
Joel is like the sweetest human.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a story about Dol Cannery that I thought was funny that I would share with you guys if I could.
About who?
About the Dol Cannery.
Oh, yes, please. Let's hear. What is your name?
I'm Amy from Portland.
Okay, Amy, let's hear it.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, how's it? I lived in Hawaii for a little bit, and the Dol Cannery is also a movie theater.
Yeah.
And we went to go see Django Unchained one time. And somehow someone who worked there had messed up all the movie reels. So instead of seeing Django Unchained for the first, 5 minutes, we saw This Is 40, which, if you've seen it, starts out with a pretty rough sex scene at the beginning with Paul Rudd in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, really awkward if you think you're about to watch Django Unchained. And Django Unchained ended up in the kids' movie.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
That movie theater, the ballroom upstairs, that is, they run amateur MMA fights upstairs. It is one of the It was one of the roughest parking lots at the go home at.
Amateur MMA fights.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've been there to bet on these things.
You've been there to bet on dudes fighting.
Yes. or watch my friends fight.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I worked across the street from that, the Dol Cannery during World War II. They were the only ones with a large enough refrigerator to literally at one point anything, all of the pineapple ran through that place, all of it. Mm-hmm. And it was
I've seen the photos of people working at it back in the day when it was the actual cannery.
During after Pearl Harbor, that was the only place large enough for them to store the bodies after the attack. And then, like, it's one of the most haunted places, too. I don't believe in ghosts, but, like, yeah, it's nuts.
All right. Yeah, it's weird, the things that are built on, like, burial grounds and whatnot in Hawaii. Yeah. Like, Fort Street Mall, I just found out, was a burial ground.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I'm going to pitch now, just to tell give me your thought on this, Fred.
Okay.
You're in the pineapple plant, right?
Okay.
You're not there betting on somebody. You're in the center now, right?
Okay.
You're there. Are you wearing a sleeveless shirt? What are you wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You look out.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Richard Colburn.
Who's Richard Colburn?
He's the drummer from Belle and Sebastian.
Okay.
Right? He comes out.
Mm-hmm.
MMA style. He does one of those flying kicks.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
I take his kick because it would be it's
now
almost
from behind though. Uh-huh. As you're doing that,
uh-huh.
Bobby Kildea, the guitarist and bassist,
mm-hmm.
does like a Spock kind of like super sharp finger chop.
Okay.
to like the shoulder blade.
All right, so
this like is a nerve pinch.
This is what I do. I grab that that first flying kick guy by his ankle, and he weighs like maybe 60 pounds, and I'm a Packer.
Okay, well now as you're doing that,
mm-hmm.
Stevie Jackson
mm-hmm.
comes whirling in.
Whirling in.
Yes. Now he is the electric and acoustic guitarist for Belle and Sebastian.
Uh-huh.
He comes flying in, aimed right at your face.
Right at my face.
Yeah, what do you do now?
Okay, so I will absorb all the blows because they are generated with no power.
Okay, as you're absorbing those blows,
uh-huh.
then you feel...
It's like a pillow fight at this point. You know who I did meet in the hallways after my overnight shift? That is truly frightening, the most frightening thing I've ever, in retrospect.
Who?
And I live tweeted about this.
Greg Gethard.
Close. Bill Cosby was doing radio.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I was completely delirious from my overnight shift.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I take the back exits, and then when it's empty like that, and you know, I don't care. I was like screaming my own lyrics mm-hmm. to the Game of Thrones theme.
Okay.
And then when I emerged, I was like, oh, it's Bill Cosby. But yeah, in the middle of this pillow fight, yes.
Then you feel a sting in the back.
Uh-huh.
You're getting stabbed by a flute. What do you do?
I take that flute, right?
Yeah.
And then I donate it to an inner city school who probably needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cave in his chest with a blow.
Her chest.
Her. Oh, no. You set me up. You set me up. This is not cool. This is not cool.
So that's what you do to Sarah Martin. Fred.
This is worse than becoming the peeper.
You cave in the chest of Sarah Martin.
This is worse than becoming the peeper. This is unbelievable.
She's laying now.
Wow.
Gasping for air.
Checkmate. You win.
Oh, Fred. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good night.
Bye.
All right. Final call. Oh, wait, no, we're done. Fred, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
You know I love you, buddy.
You changed my life, man.
Did I?
Yeah.
For the worst, though? It's for the worst,
yes,
right?
For the worst. Yeah.
Now you're known as... Just this troublemaker in the Gethard camp. We got him. He's not sure what to do next.
Uh-huh.
He's not sure which way's up. Cause
it's amazingly freeing. Like when I moved to New York, and like everyone here, you can disappear into anonymity, and two, you don't have the same interconnectedness that you would. You know, like there's a rule on the island. Like one day you're gonna meet this person again. So mm-hmm. be nice. Well, no matter what. Whatever interpersonal interactions, just be nice. Over here, you can just openly slander people, and like, there's no consequences ultimately.
Oh, really?
There's not. I'm joking.
So there's no consequences.
Of course not. Yeah. I am unhireable, and I will my desk will be cleaned out in my day job. It's great.
Well, Fred, you listen to me.
Here we go.
You just tell me which one of those three out there you want to replace.
Oh. I told you, man, I was serious. I will sweep up every Tuesday night.
I know you're very thoughtful, and I appreciate that. But you also are you at a job at that point?
No, I'm off Tuesdays. Tuesdays and Fridays.
All right, well, you come and we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
You come hang out.
Yeah.
Final call. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Randy from Oklahoma City.
So I guess you're here for the half hour power?
Yeah.
Call back. Okay. sorry, Randy.
You're the peeper, Randy.
Best show is over. I want to thank Ileana Douglas for checking in. Her book is called I Blame Dennis Hopper. I want to thank you, Fred. Where can people find you?
At Fred from Hahn.
Fred from Hahn. Again, go to stereolaughs.com/tour. Our tour dates are up there. We're playing Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia, and Raleigh, North Carolina over the next few months. Do not miss the show. And, we will be back next week. And, go ahead. What's that?
I want to shout out one thing about your Philly show.
Yeah, what's that?
Greg Gethard is running a talent show at 1 p.m. prior to your show.
Okay.
That is the official meetup. Unofficially meetup or something.
Okay. So it starts 7 hours before our show.
1 p.m. You can do what he wants people doing yo-yo tricks. Mm-hmm. Anybody who can juggle knives, specifically you want.
So there's no, like, there's nobody who needs to be, like, fed in Philly, or nobody who needs, like any charitable work done. He wants to start a yo-yo demonstration 7 hours before our show.
Yes.
That's a fair use of human energy. I'm going to say goodnight, and we will be back next week. And thanks to everybody who listened, and thank you for coming down, buddy. And, I will talk to you all soon. On the way out, let's play Limonanias. I know there's an answer. This is their great song from the Trouble in Mind 7-inch collection that I play a lot called I've Got Trouble in Mind. Here it is. Let's take a listen, and we will be back next week.